Today's episode of Rob Has a Podcast with Shane Powers is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on a new account, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code RHAP12. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who just found out he's about to be digging deep with podcasts for another year, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. It's the last regular Thursday podcast of the Survivor season, and I am Rob Cesternino, and I'm very happy you guys are going to be joining us. Short turnaround here before the Survivor finale, trying to get this one up a little bit earlier than normal. So we've got a very fun show. We are going to be speaking with Shane Powers, an interview that I recorded earlier today. Boy, that is going to be a lot of fun for most of you guys. Then I also am going to speak with Jeff Pittman from True Dark Times to answer your voicemails. So all that's coming up here on one very big final Thursday episode of the season. So as I alluded to earlier, we just found out Survivor and Rob Has a Podcast have both been renewed for another season. So Survivor will make it all the way through Survivor 30, at the very least. Jeff Probst signs on as well. So one more year of Survivor certainly coming up. So very exciting news in Survivor podcast land. Also exciting news in Survivor podcast land. Great Survivor know-it-alls last night. Steven and I were back together recapping everything from the episode. So if you missed that, definitely check that out as we get towards the finale night on Sunday. And then, of course, we have this morning, I spoke with Katie Collins, and I wasn't sure that Katie was going to do an exit interview this week, but she did. And she, of course, is dealing with the tragedy of losing her brother last week. But she was a great sport to come on and talk some Survivor with us. And we got to hear a lot about what she was thinking over the course of the game. So if you want to check that out, that is also available for you at robhasawebsite.com. So looking ahead to the finale weekend, here's what we have in store for you. Okay, so of course the Survivor finale kicks off 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. Just watch in case football runs late. Sometimes you get into, it starts at 8:30. So just keep an eye on that, especially if you're going to set your DVR. Make sure to pad that at the end in case any of these East Coast football games ends up running late. That's definitely what happened last year. It ended up starting almost like an hour later than it was supposed to in the fall. So what we're going to do is, once the Survivor finale and reunion show is over, Stephen Fishback and I are going to get together for a special post-finale Survivor Know-It-Alls. We'll discuss everything that happened, including the new winner of Survivor, and then we'll talk about everything that happened at the reunion and all the drama that usually unfolds there, and maybe even get a peek at Survivor 28. We'll find out what it's going to be called. So lots of excitement on Sunday night. And then on Monday morning, I will have exit interviews with everybody. So make sure, do not miss any of this. This is the biggest week of the podcast year. Go ahead and subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or on SoundCloud, robhasawebsite.com/SoundCloud, or on our other favorite, Stitcher, robhasawebsite.com/Stitcher. And I just, we always do a disservice by under mentioning what goes on with Stitcher. Of course, Stitcher is a internet radio that they have on the cars and all these different apps that you can use it on. And Stitcher is really great. I saw the other day that Rob Has a Podcast was in the top 10 in entertainment on Stitcher. And they're also having, Stitcher is having their second annual podcast award. So if you're even so generous with your time when you're listening with this podcast, we would love it if you would nominate us for a Stitcher Award for podcasts in the entertainment and pop culture category. It's all the way at the bottom of that page that I'm about to give you. Just type in the first couple letters of Rob Has a Podcast and it'll populate the field automatically. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Stitcher Awards. So that is the Stitcher. We'll see if we get nominated for any Stitcher Awards, and of course the podcast awards, which are different, coming up in January, and I'll let you guys know soon how that's going to be and what's going to happen with our big roast. Okay, turning to the podcast at hand, we have Shane Powers coming up. Now, let me just forewarn you guys a little bit. Shane Powers is going to use strong language. Okay, so if you are easily offended or if you have children around, maybe this is one that you want to maybe listen to another time, or if not at all. And if that's the case, then we'll see you at Sunday night. And of course, I will post the time code if you want to just skip ahead to the voicemails if that's not your thing. But I talked to Shane. He has been watching this season, and he certainly has a lot to say. So I visited Shane at his girlfriend's house earlier today. And let's go ahead and let me take you to that interview starting now. All right, everybody, we have a treat for you today. I am here at here live with Shane Powers. That I'm here visiting Shane. Shane, how are you doing?
I'm not happy.
Why are you pissed?
Well, clearly, I'm holding on to this mic. There's no way to get rid of this fucking thing.
I mean, would you?
How about this? Let me just tell everybody where we're. I'm at my girlfriend's house because she's been lovely enough to. But this is, I mean, how about this? He's become sort of the vanguard of reality television.
Is that damning with faint praise?
No, but you are. You're like the guy.
Okay.
And I'm proud of you. You've done good. But I'm fucking holding this mic. I got to hold this mic for the next hour. We can't figure anything out.
We didn't even try to figure anything out. I'm sure we could figure something out.
You got to come to my house and I got to hold a microphone for the next fucking hour? Is this what we're doing?
Do you want me to hold the microphone and just point it at you?
Actually, for a minute, maybe. But 6 years in, we can't find you a place to record.
Well, I typically don't do a lot of recordings in person. Like, I typically will just talk to somebody on the phone or on Skype.
That's stupid.
That's, yeah.
I'm going to take a picture right now. This is Rob's Cutting Edge Studio.
Yeah, here I am. Very nerdy, yes.
We'll take a picture of me. This is what we're looking at right now.
Okay, cool. Here we go. Here's Shane.
Rob has a podcast. This is the central office here. The Rob has a podcast.
For today, it is. All right. 1, 2, 3. There you go. Very, very impressive. So, Shane, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I've been doing good. I've got my own little podcast going. I don't like people when they come on and pitch anything. So find it. You just Google my name, find the podcast. Life is good. How about this? This is the first season that I've watched every episode since I was on. Usually what happens is I watch the finale part, right?
Yeah.
Where they give you the fucking 5-minute rundown of what's happened, and I catch up, and then I watch the finale. That's what I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
This year, however, I was very interested in the blood versus water twist. Aris was coming back on. Aris and I have a friendship from going on the show originally. So I have sat down and I've watched every episode. I have to say they've done a great job. The show has been fun. And it's funny because you watch the show. This is the first time I've watched it since I've been on. And you start to I have real opinion. I mean, I reached out to you.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to fucking talk about some of these fucking jokers. And I wanted to talk about some of the guys that are doing well or some people that have been surprising. So I'm here. You have questions.
Yeah.
I would imagine, right?
Got a lot of questions.
Or do you want me to just take over the podcast?
Well, I kind of feel like, sure, at first. I mean, if you have something that you want to feel the strongest about, you want to jump right into it, go for it.
Well, did you watch last night's episode?
Of course.
Okay. Where do you feel like they're at now?
Well, I think it's an interesting spot, especially.
By the way, I'm having some popcorn.
We got some. Yeah, get your popcorn ready.
It's caramel corn. Good.
Yeah, Shane has like a holiday tin of like 4 different flavors of popcorn.
Anyway.
So
last night,
yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, it's the final five, but now it's a little tricky because it's the Redemption Island final five. So somebody
which is the stupidest fucking thing in the history of the show.
It does
the twist.
It does complicate it. I think
which
I like
never,
it.
It's never going away because the Brainiac Probst, that was his idea, right?
Yeah, but they initially did it, and then they had it for 2 seasons, and then they took it away. Then they brought it back because they felt like it would be good for the loved ones thing. But people have liked it this season. People have said it. Yeah.
It's super dumb. And it's not. I mean, they bring it. But I know. From what I understand, it was Probst's idea.
Yeah.
That twist.
He likes that.
So we're stuck with that.
Not necessarily because they stopped doing it at one point.
They
but they brought it back, though,
okay.
For this one.
And they thought because of the loved one and the twists, and I'll take your place, or you can leave, or I will go. Okay.
Right. So we don't know if they're going to do it again for this next one. So
it's now, still dumb.
Yeah, I like it better for the pre-merge. I think if you want to do it and you want to have somebody that can come back at the merge.
Do you know when they come back in?
They usually come back at the final five. So they have this vote, and then on Sunday night, the first thing that'll happen will be somebody will come back into the game. But they typically, unless they win immunity, they will be
still
get voted out.
3-2.
It's going to be a Groundhog's Day vote.
Why did they bring it back this week? It would have been another fun 3-3.
Well, that's a good point.
It would have been fucking rocks, or somebody would have flipped.
I mean,
they've wasted the whole Redemption Island twist by bringing it back at the wrong time, right? Mm-hmm.
I think that
Sunday it's like fucking moot.
I feel like they have a hard time.
And this fucking jerk-off Jervis are going to walk in.
Yeah.
They're going to win the thing.
Well, just going back to what you were saying with why don't they do it at 6 instead of 5, I feel like the 2-hour finale, I feel like they have a hard time filling out that 2 hours. Like they had last year when they did the Philippines season, they did like a bonus challenge where it was like they did a challenge that was like an advantage in the final immunity challenge, which just feels like to me that they're trying to stretch out that 2 hours for more. They don't have enough stuff to fill the 2-hour finale.
How about this? I know nothing about the Philippines. Who was on the Philippines? Was there like returning people on the Philippines?
Yeah, it was Penner and Scoopin and Russell Swan. That was the one where they brought back the three people that were injured.
What about it had to have been the Boston Rob had to have been in there
somewhere. No, Boston Rob has never
been. They didn't
get him in? He's never been medevaced. So it's just, it was.
They didn't get Boston Rob
Jeff
in this?
Kent was on that one.
Baseball player?
Yeah. So
wait, he had a medical thing?
No,
Jeff
Kent never had a medical thing.
He was back on the show?
No, Jeff Kent, it was the first time he was on the show.
Why did you bring up Jeff Kent?
Because he was on the Philippines.
The original Philippines.
The original Survivor Philippines.
So this last season has been too...
Yeah, they've been in the Philippines for a while.
I'm exhausted. I need a fucking... Okay, go ahead. Anyway.
All right, so going back to the final five tonight. So this is going to be Groundhog's Day again. Now somebody's going to come back into the game.
They're going to clip whoever doesn't get immunity.
Yeah.
And, how about this? It's Jervis, Tyson, Monica. Monica clearly goes, and then they're going to fucking war it out, and Tyson should win because Jervis is an idiot. Jervis is a fucking delusional. First of all, I don't like Jervis because he's black, obviously. Secondly, that was a joke.
Yeah, I got that. Okay. I got that.
Secondly, he's the most delusional guy on the show, don't you think?
Wait, now,
do you have an opinion? I can't ask you an opinion, right?
Because you
want to be fucking... You want to be right down the line. You don't want to piss anybody off.
Well, I would like
Jervis
to not...
Jervis is useless on the show, correct?
Well, I think he, like, from a viewer's point of view,
does
or...
Does Jervis have a better idea of himself than he is playing?
Jervis has no chance to win the game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jervis thinks he has played a good game?
I think so. I think he feels like he's played
would
a good game.
Would you say that's delusional?
Yeah, that's probably a delusional way of thinking.
He's creating for himself.
What Jervis needs to do is get rid of Tyson. Like,
do you
think
people are going to really think that I don't like Jervis because he's black?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think people...
I don't really care. But
going back to Jervis, though, I think for him to think he can win the game if he's up against Tyson in the finals, though, I don't think that... you cannot be the second in command and win.
Yes, you can. But he can. I'm watching the show like last night, and I'm thinking to myself, Jervis really thinks that if he gets to the two, he's going to win. And Jervis has no shot at winning. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, if it's the two of them, Tyson will be smart enough to be like, I engineered. I was the guy. I played the game. I deserve your vote. He'll run that card. And Jervis will be like, I fucking was the puppet, and I stayed, and this was my whole... But he has not earned anyone's respect out there.
Mm-hmm.
He's Tyson's lapdog.
Yeah. Now, Jervis has done a lot of things.
Talk about how hot Monica is. Monica's hot.
Well, I haven't heard that take yet this season. So good.
Oh, no, Monica's the hottest chick in the building.
Really?
Oh, for 1,000%. Me and my girlfriend secretly probably would want to have we would probably have a foursome with her.
And Brad Culpepper.
And yeah, because he's hot too. He's a good looking
guy. He's a good looking
guy. He's a super good looking guy.
Yeah.
And she's beyond hot.
Really?
My girl and I both think they're fucking gorgy.
So
they're super hot.
Wow, the Culpeppers.
So fucking hot. Both of them.
Yeah, better than. So you would go with the four way with the Culpeppers before the Codys?
I don't even know who the Codys are.
That's Candace and John.
I, no, we, I, yeah, I fucking plead the fifth. I plead the fifth on that whole scenario. But yeah. No, the answer is absolutely not.
Okay.
It would be Monica and Brett in a walk.
Whoa.
Or, yeah, that's it. That's them. They're the ones.
Yeah.
You don't find Monica really attractive?
I have not.
You find her too muscular?
You know, I'm only seeing her on Survivor. I feel like she's getting a little veiny.
She's very fit.
Yeah, very, very fit.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on. So you were on your season in the Exile Island. You prefer to say Panama or Exile Island? Yeah.
Why did Candace and John, everyone must be fucking like, for the five people that care about this show.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but there's a cult little thing, right? It's probably thousands at this point.
Sure.
But everybody who's like, these people that are on the show are going to be listening to this at some point because mm-hmm. they love listening about themselves. When I bring up names, do you think people get fucking panicked about what I'm going to say?
So you say like...
I brought up Candace and John. Do you think Candace and John, when they hear this, are going to be like, oh,
see,
fuck.
I don't think they listen, though. Because,
I don't think they do.
Because I think that the people that are on the show, I think they probably listen.
11 times?
Candace?
Yeah, she's on every other season.
I can't speak to it. I don't know what they say. Like, we got to keep bringing Candace back. What happened was this season...
She's a fucking dud.
She was a replacement.
She's such a dud that she didn't even get to do anything and they voted her
off. She came in at the last minute. So they had this woman...
Do the other people know that?
Yes. This woman, RC, that was on Survivor Philippines, they were going to have her and her dad...
Just move?
You can move. So they were going to have her and her dad on the season. How far do you want to go? You got some
open
slack.
Open the door.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hold on.
Here, I have to walk with you. Yeah. So they had RC and...
Top Flight Studio.
Yeah, here, let's move. So I wish you could see the visual of this that
Rob
I'm carrying.
Has a podcast.
We're moving outside
studio.
Now. All right, so what happened was that there was this woman, RC, and she was going to be on this season, but...
She's kind of cute.
She's a very good-looking woman. Okay. Miss Survivor 2013. So don't worry about that.
What is that? No, what is
that's
that?
We have that on Rob as a podcast.
Oh, I've seen something in the past. Parvati's won it.
Yes, yes. So what happened was that RC was going to be on the season with her dad, and then she ended up, the dad had like some sort of like a heart thing. And so they said at the last second, he can't do it, that they had like this EKG they did. And they said
so Candace and John were the desperate couple.
Yes.
That
last
went
minute,
even though like, because they have to bring,
they were the
alternate in
yeah.
case.
So
there's like those super desperate people that go thinking they're not even going to play, but will fly halfway
know,
around
I don't
the
think
world.
They went. I think that they were just like, they
but
were on standby.
There are
they,
people that desperate that go knowing.
Oh,
they're
sure.
Not gonna be
sure.
On the
people would do that.
That's desperate.
Yeah. So
like brutally desperate.
Yeah. So
like sad desperate.
It is
like
a little
get
sad.
Get a fucking new career desperate.
Sure. So what happened was that then on the first day, there was, they had that thing and it was like, okay, who do you want to vote off the first day? And everybody's like, well, I'll vote off Candace.
They all were like, we hate that bitch. Like, why? They just according to the edit, they just showed up, and then you could tell they all were like, yuck.
Because I think everybody was like, I know who's going. I'm on the season. I know everybody's there. I'm talking to everybody. Now, here's Candace. Now, nobody's talked to her, and so just get rid of her. She's a wild card. We don't know what she's...
Oh, so you think people were bonding and making moves before the game?
Yeah, also they had been there for a couple days, I think, and sort of like everybody's at Ponderosa, and then she comes in like, you know, the day before.
Right, but when we were on the Ponderosa, you weren't allowed to talk. You weren't even allowed to look at other people.
I don't know what they do.
Back in the day, they were serious about it. They kept you locked.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, when the first time I played, they kept it very,
locked
you know,
up.
Very kosher. Nobody talked to anybody. But then when it was the All-Stars and everybody already knew each other, it was like, whatever.
You guys were giving each other hand jobs.
Well, I was with Rob and Amber, but that's a whole different story.
So, we got to talk about Rob and Amber.
What do you want to talk about?
Just because of the 25th. It was Lex had his 25th anniversary with his wife. I then got on the thing, and then I... Cause
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We got questions about that.
Lex was one of the reasons why I went on this show.
Well, we'll talk about that later. Let's keep it with Survivor Blood versus Water right
Real
now.
Real quick, I just want to say this. I don't have an opinion about anything on this episode. I don't have one opinion about anything regarding Tina and her daughter, Katie. I just want to say, I would never... How about this? I don't know you. I have absolutely zero personal connection with the two of you. However, we do share a you know, a strange bond because we've been on this show, and I want to send out my heartfelt prayers and love, and I hope that you guys are doing okay. And I mean, I don't, you know, you listen to that it bumps me out. Like you go on Facebook and you'll see, and then all these people are like, I don't have any connection to you, Tina, or Katie. Is it Katie, right?
Katie.
But I just want to say that I send you whatever demon prayers I have in me, and I hope that you guys are, I hope that you guys are getting through a really tough time.
Yeah.
So, all right, go ahead.
So, a couple different things to talk about. So, now this thing that happened last night, this was the final five. And now this is when you went out on your season.
Correct.
So, did you see any similarities between what happened with trying to get Monica to flip with anything going on in your season? Now, the difference was that you didn't know it was going to be you.
I got blindsided. I could have made a move. This is so silly. I mean, I guess people will. There are people that listen to the show that will know my season. It's so ridiculous to even talk. But there were five of us left. The smart move for me was to take Danielle and go with Terry and flip on Suri and Aris. I could not, however, do that because I had given my word on my son's life. I knew the right play, but I wasn't gonna flip on my kid's word. So I got fucked because I, at the end of the day, chose to. It's funny, in the game of Survivor, and somebody was, I really agree with this. In the absence of law, the person with the lowest moral code is always going to win. Because there's no, like, if I were to say, on my son, and that was a rule, right? And no one could vote, I would have been in a better, but because there's no law on Survivor, in the absence of law, whoever's willing to go the lowest is in the best position to win. And for me, morally, personally, I wasn't going to do that. So mm-hmm. I was in a bad spot. And Aris and Suri, because they had a lower moral code on the game or whatever, personally in the game, whatever, they were in a better position. And they ended up getting further than me, and Aris ended up winning.
Between you and me, I don't like that stuff about the, you know, the I want you to swear on blah, blah, blah.
If I take a look at it, it was me being manipulative, mm-hmm. right, by trying to use that, by trying to feel safe, by using my son's name, which was manipulative and shitty on my part, and I would never do it again. So my part in that is that, like, I was using something very sacred to me in order to feel safe, which is fucking dark, if mm-hmm. you think about it.
Right.
So you don't like the whole – you don't like that whole thing because –
I feel like if somebody said to me, like, I want you to swear on your swear on your wife, swear on your kid, like, I would feel like, you know, I don't want to do that. But now I feel like then now if I don't do that, I'm the target.
Right. I get it. If that's a problem for you at the very beginning of the game, mm-hmm. when everyone's all fucking cuddly and lovely in the first day, just say, listen, I'm not going to do that one way or the other, and it's not personal. It's just not what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I thought about this.
Which leads into this. Let me ask you a question. Because Jeff is always fucking on and on and on about it's just a game. It's just a game. You go to the fucking thing and you go to the reunion show. It's just a game. Survivor is as personal as it gets. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. There is
no mix and match. You're having a personal experience while you're playing a game. But it's a very personal experience. When you fuck people over on that show, it's personal. It's not within the game. It's you are playing a game in your personal life. So if I were to look at Rob and say, Rob, I got you. Don't sweat it on your wife, on my kids. And then I fuck you over. That's personal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Vulcan enough to be able to just not be hurt by that. I would definitely be hurt in that situation. And it, you know, and and the other way around, if I did that to somebody, I would feel bad about it too.
You would.
Yeah.
Would the $1 million be enough to make you
it? It would definitely help. I mean,
but you would know that you were a shitty person in that scenario.
Yeah, I would feel very bad.
Like, you would have to show that to your kid, and your kid's growing up, and your kid's 13 years old and watches you be a shitty person.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be worth $1 million?
Now, I definitely betrayed people on my season of Survivor.
Listen, there's a difference between playing the game and betraying, and saying one thing and doing another. But when it gets personal like that, and you're like on, or when fucking, when Rob's looking Lex in his eyes and he's saying, fucking get me, dude, please. And they man up and they've got that moment in their eyeballs and they man up and Lex does it and then Rob fucks him. That makes Rob, a fucking shitty dude. Like, there's no way around that. Like, Rob has to know that he's a shitty person. Now, clearly we all evolve and he could, I don't know if he's trying to apologize to Lex. I don't know anything about it. I just know that that guy's daughters have to watch him be a fuckhead on national television. Like, to not have depth and weight and to not be a man of his word. Like, that's their father in that scenario. Mm-hmm. And that's something I was not willing to do.
Well, all right. So since we're on this, so just a little bit of setup. So why are you so, because I got a lot of questions about this. Why are you so focused on Boston Rob and Lex this week?
Lex was having his 25th anniversary with his wife.
Yeah.
I started to like, he's such a solid dude. I don't know Lex, but like through whatever I see on his, and then I just meandered into like the Rob and the thing. And I was like, you know what? This fucking guy's a creep. And I made this blog post and it's fucking dope.
A lot of people have commented about it. A lot of people, I had a lot of questions about this.
Let's hold on to that because I don't want this to be about Boston Rob.
Well, no, let's finish it out. Now, let me just make the counter argument to what you were saying.
Please.
Okay. So Boston Rob, and it's come out over the last couple of seasons that Boston Rob has, Philip. I'm sure have you ever seen Philip?
Philip's the goofy black guy.
Yeah.
He's like out of
Stealth
his fucking
Russ,
mind.
Yeah. So he came back last season and he said, hey, I played with Boston Rob. I'm going to play by the BR rules. and so the BR rules is he says, I'm going to make an alliance. And then I make an alliance within the alliance. And then at the end of the day, it's all about family. So to go back to what you were saying about Boston Rob and his kids, and they will have to grow up and watch what their dad did on Survivor.
Sure.
I mean, could a child of a survivor look at that and say, hey, that's what my dad was willing to do for me, for my family?
Clearly, that will be the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a 14-year-old kid,
yeah,
and my dad tells me that, I desperately want to believe that my dad's a good guy. So that's how that will go down, and that will work. But my child, as a 21-year-old man, mm-hmm. would watch me, and if I would have fucking thrown his name under the bus, he would know in his gut of guts that fucking dad was a fuckhead. He was a shitty guy. And it's just not something that I wanted to do, because it's dark. It's a dark, dark thing. Now, he's going to market it and play it however he wants to play it, and it's a decent counter-argument. But at the end of the day, it's 10 years later, and I don't think that that Lex guy or that Rob guy talk.
Yeah.
And so throughout that, like, state it however you want to state it, play it however you want to play it, argue how Rob fucked Lex over and Lex has never spoken to him since.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I mean, he destroyed a friendship.
Yeah.
Period, the end. So by, I guess, playing this game.
And to Rob, you know, there was a price tag on how much that friendship was worth.
Clearly.
And, you know, I don't think that Boston Rob would say if you...
But his integrity, but Boston Rob's integrity has a price tag.
Mm-hmm.
That's, is that a fact?
I think that's fair to say.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Boston Rob's integrity has a price tag. End of story.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so there's really nothing else to. We can talk about whatever you want to talk.
Well,
about.
Okay. Well, let's segue that back into this season because in that moment right there of hey, will you save my girlfriend?
What is the deal with Sierra? Just fucking is like, I'll throw my mom right under the bus.
Okay, good, good. Because
like, what is that?
A lot of people wanted to hear you talk about this because
it's not. It's a fucking absolute no chance, no how, no way. No can do. And if I had been on the show with Boston, everyone would have known that. Like, everyone just would have known. There's no way we're going to fucking get him to. The idea that, how about this? I think it also probably speaks volume to Sierra and Laura's relationship outside the game.
Mm-hmm.
That Sierra's like, fuck it. I'm going to throw this broad under the bus if it's going to get me one inch further.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. That's her mother.
Okay, well, just to set this up, in case...
great casting, by the way.
In case anybody doesn't know...
Spillman killed it.
Okay, so Boston is your son.
Correct.
So Were you guys approached at all to go and be on this season?
I don't. We had one quick little discussion about it. I have been in a fucking very bad place in my life. There was the show's fucked me over. I have fucked the show over. It was a crazy period of my life where I was not very well. There was a discussion 6 months ago, and then I think they wanted me to go do the testing again for like the 11th time, and then I was like, I'll do it on Friday, and then they never got back to us.
Okay. So,
and again, at the end of the day, I don't know if Boston and I would have gone on the show.
Does Boston want to do Survivor? Would he be into it?
I don't know if Boston's necessarily into doing it. I think we've had talks. Sometimes he's like, maybe, and then he's like, and then there's other times recently he was like, I'm not doing this. What am I going to go do this for? I have no interest.
Right. Because, I mean, I feel like if I was the kid of, or if my parents were Survivor players, like, sure. I don't know if I would necessarily want to go do something that my parents did. Like, I feel like...
My kid, I don't think...
I want to be my own person.
He's not very driven to do it. He's not...
Right.
And it was funny because recently he's like, I don't really want to go and put myself through... I don't think he, like, ultimately everybody that goes on the show, there's a certain amount of narcissism in them. There's a certain amount of wanting validation from outside presences by being on television, by whatever's going. My kid is just pretty, he's pretty fucking put together. Like, he's definitely got stuff that he's got to work out, and he's got holes in him, like we all do, but that one he just doesn't need to fill. He doesn't need to have, to be on television and walk around and have people... He doesn't need that type of thing. And he's like, I don't want... they look fucking miserable, Pop.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to fucking be out.
Do you feel
starving.
Like anybody who seeks out a reality show is probably a little bit broken?
I think that there is clearly a validation. There's a... myself included. Like, you watch the show and you... I was fascinated in the game and I really wanted to play the game. The TV part, I'm clearly a pure narcissist. So attention is fun. Validation from outside sources is fun. That being said, in my defense, I have never, ever used Survivor nor talked about Survivor nor done anything regarding Survivor to get ahead in any way, mm-hmm. shape, or form. I don't go to the events. I don't fucking do no red carpets. I've done this show twice in 11 years.
This is the second time, yes.
I was all over you when 12 years ago when you're yes. like, I'm going to be a reality dude. I'm like, you're a creep and you're fucking awful and you're advancing yourself by being a reality star and that yeah. makes you ridiculous. And over the course of that 12 years, you've carved out a nice little brand for yourself and that's what you get to be. And I don't, you know, it's what it is. And I also, how about this? I don't listen to your show.
Yeah.
I don't listen to your show. I don't go on your website. I do know that you have carved out a nice little thing for yourself, and I watched the show and thought to myself, I have opinions about this that I want people to know, and I called you and wanted to do it.
Yeah.
All right, I also am trying on some level to figure out a way to become more ambitious, and it's very uncomfortable for me, but I do want it. I want my radio show, my talk show to succeed. So part of this is about drawing people to the talk show, which is difficult for me. It's hard.
What kind of talk show do you do? Like,
it's like a Howard Stern without the porn. He's the pioneer. He's a beast. It's me talking shit about the world, whatever's on my plate that week. I'll read all week throughout the week. And last night we taped, it was about Congress and how they haven't done anything with gun control in a year. Today's the anniversary. Tomorrow's the anniversary about the Newtown massacre. I talked a little shit about Kanye last night. The Kardashian Christmas card. Fuck whatever's going on.
Current events. Yeah.
The Castro thing. It's a talk show. It's like a radio show, and sometimes we have guests, sometimes we don't. But it's good and it's fun, and I'm on this partly because I want to drive people there, and partly because I've enjoyed the season and I want to talk to you about it. So.
All right. Well, let's go back to. Something that we started getting into about if you and Boston were to play this game. So we had two sort of parallel things that happened. We had Sierra voted her mom out of the game.
Right.
And then last night, sort of the opposite of that Tina ended Katie's game.
So yeah, I don't have an opinion about Tina and Katie.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well,
based on what's happening right now, I don't have an opinion. I think they've both played well. They're lovely people, and that's it. That's all I have to say about it. I don't have an opinion on what you would think I would have an opinion about. I don't have an opinion about because of the time specific events that have occurred.
Okay, fair enough.
Sorry, I'm not gonna, you know. At the end of the day, that woman doesn't need any type of, personally on my end, I just have nothing bad to say about anybody, those two in particular. They've been fun. I think Katie's done well. She won a few immunities, and she was, like, hustling. And Tina's, you know, Tina had a nice little run on it, too.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about Aris this season. And so,
fucking bummed at Aris.
You are disappointed in his game.
I am. Aris could have, you see the lineup of people. When, first of all, some of them I don't even know. Like the Sierra's mom, I don't even, what the fuck was season?
She was on Survivor Samoa.
And was she a star or a character breakout? Or was she
they didn't get a lot of airtime. And then after the merge, she was sort of like, they were saying like, oh, she's running things. And she was sort of like went up against Russell. And then Russell got her out.
Russell
Hance, yeah.
Right. Not Russell, the black guy, Russell.
She was with, there were two Russells on that season. Not Russell Feathers, but Russell Hance and Russell Swan.
Who's Russell Feathers?
Don't worry about Russell Feathers.
You just kind of made yourself laugh. Like, you kind of liked putting that in there. Who the fuck is Russell
Feathers?
That was
last week when they were talking about Russell Feathers versus Ruffle Feathers, and Tyson said, Russell is a guy's name. That was at the Tribal Council.
He's fucking going to win this thing, and he does not. I mean, it's
now, do you like Tyson? Because I remember during Heroes versus Villains, there was a lot of talk about it. If you were going to be on Heroes versus Villains, and that was the season that you had the close call.
That was the season I was going, and then the day before, they were like, I'm out, because Russell got some kind of medical go-ahead to do it. Tyson didn't take my spot. No one took my spot. Everybody got their spot, right?
Yeah.
But I did get fucking yanked around until the very last minute, and I was very upset with CBS. Partly because it's ridiculous that I have not been on the show again. It's absolutely, I mean, with some of the people that have been on it 4 or 5 times, it's
right.
However cosmically it's worked out, it's embarrassing for CBS and Survivor that I have not been on it. I've been on it once. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That being said, I wasn't mad at Tyson. I didn't know, I had never, because I hadn't seen Tyson before.
Because I felt like that.
I watched a little bit of that season, but not, I didn't stay with it.
I remember, like, I don't remember if you were writing blogs or something. I feel like you were saying, like,
I fired off a gnarly one.
Yeah, you were like, Randy, like, who the hell is he? Why is he on there? Tyson, why is he on there? Russell, why is he, you know, sort of like saying, why are these people there?
Right. I didn't have any type of thing with Tyson at all. And Randy's like a kind of a grumpy old man, kind of like I am now. Right? He
might be a little grumpier.
He's grumpier.
Yeah.
I didn't have really that big of an opinion. The Russell guy, there were a couple reasons why I was bummed. First of all, it was really the time when Survivor jumped the shark, because to put a guy on, a returning player on, that no one had seen was a massive fucking dick. Like, it's not fair. Like, if I would have gone on that show and it would have been like an all-star season and I would have known everybody or had heard of everybody, and then there's this guy who had just come off the last season, I would have thought to myself, wait a minute, he did something crazy. I don't know who he is. We got to get rid of him first.
Yeah.
Just purely because I don't know how he played. I don't know what the guy did. So I would have clipped him first. So everybody on that show deserves. Did he win? He never won.
He didn't win. No.
Right.
He almost won in Samoa. That was his best season. And then he got no votes in the final. He made the finals back-to-back, and then he got no votes in the Heroes versus Villains. And then he was like the third or fourth person off on the third time.
Great character, great for the show. As a human being, I have to believe is probably one of the gnarliest, darkest, most fucking whacked out people of all time. Like, I've never met him. I've never been in an opportunity to meet him. That dude, whatever, he's in Alabama or wherever the fuck he is right now, and there is a fucking gnarly cloud of darkness around that dude wherever he goes. I mean, that dude is a sociopathic psycho. Period.
You get the sense that maybe his Survivor game isn't that different than, like, there's some that people that say, that, hey, dude, look, that was me out there. That wasn't real
first
life.
First of all, everyone is the same. Like, there's when you're out there and in there, it's part of you as a person. That being said, that guy's dark. He's the darkest fuck that's ever played the game. him or that creep that shot the puppy with the arrow.
Brian Heidick.
Right, who I loved his game, but he's nuts. Yeah. He's they haven't had him back on because he killed the puppy.
I know. I think that, well,
puppy death.
No, what happened was
you
with
can't
him.
Fuck with dogs.
No,
in
definitely not. So what?
Why did
happen-
they not? Why have they not had this guy on?
Well, I think that he was supposed to be in the.
He should be on. He's only been on it once, right?
Yeah, he was only on it once. They said he was going
to
be on.
He needs to be in front of me. He would be on it. He should be on.
No,
it.
No, you're in front of him. You're in front of him. And well, here's what happened. That from what I've heard. Like, so they did the family
visit.
So that
dude was a dark dude.
Yeah. They had the family visit on that season. And they say, like, his wife was the biggest pain in the ass that they've ever dealt with in the entire. So that was strike one.
Wait, his wife from the show?
From the, yeah, his wife came for the family visit. And they say that she was, like, the big, you know, a real pain in the ass to work with. And then number two, so then they did the All-Star season. That was season eight. And then I guess then they
you
called
were on
him.
That.
Yeah, I was on that for a little bit. And then they called him and they were like, hey, do you want to come back for the All-Stars? He's like, yeah, well, I'll come back if you pay my rate, which is whatever. Pay me, you know, $100,000 and I'll come back. And they were like, we don't want you that bad. And so he sort of pissed everybody off with that. And then he was just sort of, and then he killed the, and then he had the thing with the dog. So that was really strike three. And he was sort of like in a softcore porn. And so.
Yeah, but that's not, I mean, how about this? Every single person that's on Survivor right now has got some gnarly picture or video that they have sent in a drunken state to some stranger.
Yeah.
How about this? My dick's been posted on Survivor on the sucks thing.
Okay.
God bless them.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
No, I'm not aware of this.
You should keep it.
So, all right, but I feel like that doesn't, you're right. That doesn't hurt.
None of that matters.
Yeah.
He's just out of the loop. They'll never get him back. Well, people that watch the show know. Do they even know who this guy is?
Probably not. It's a long, you know, people don't have, like, the people that listen to this show have a long memory. The people that watch the show, you know, for the most part, 95% of the audience, very short-term memory.
Gotcha.
You know, Cochran's the greatest player next to Boston.
Is that the nerd?
Yeah.
He's a sweet kid.
He's a nice guy.
He's a really nice kid.
Yeah. So let's
Why is he great? Because he just...
Great character.
Great character. And you know,
won. Played a very good game last time also. So let's go back to this season and talk about this final five, because the finale is Sunday night.
Right.
So can anybody else win this game besides Tyson?
Tyson wins. Monica goes down third, barring any type of like immunity. You know, whoever gets the immunity, but however that all works out, there's five left.
Yeah.
Whoever comes back from the fucking goofy redemption garbage gets clipped.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever one doesn't win immunity gets clipped. Then it's four. Then it'll be those three. And then Tyson's going to get, he's going to sit with Jervis. And he's going to fucking, Jervis isn't going to get one vote. It's going to be, however it is, 11-0, not however many are on there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking unanimous shutout. Because this guy is the fucking worst.
Can
Jervis, by the way, Jervis, this is Shane. I doubt we'll ever meet, although I have no problem meeting with you. You're the fucking worst guy on the show this year. By a mile, the worst.
But now when
what was the whole celebrating at the beginning?
Yeah.
The guy fucking almost drowns.
Right.
And then is showboating like he had anything to do with that victory.
Yeah.
Which pissed off the other tribe and got his fucking
his
cousin
niece.
Voted
yeah,
out.
His niece
voted out. And then, right?
Yeah.
Then, if he's half a man, he should go, listen, I fucked that up for you.
Yeah.
I've played the game once.
Right.
Let me step out of this game and you come. No, the guy is a fucking piece of garbage.
Oh, no. You just be as a Survivor player, not as a person.
How about this? Jervis and I would not be friends.
Yeah.
I would look at Jarvis.
Jarvis.
I say Jarvis a lot because there was a great running back from Nebraska, Jarvis Redwine.
Mm-hmm.
So Jarvis. Redwine, what a great last name. Jarvis, I would not be friends with Jarvis purely based on what I've seen on the show. I would only be friends with a few people on the show.
Yeah. Well, who would you be friends with?
This season?
Yeah.
Aris, Vetus.
Do you know Vetus?
I know Vetus. Vetus is a very weird story on his, like his, it's funny how Vetus is a fucking gangster, straight up gangster. And there's two parts of Vetus, right? Vetus and me are very similar. There's a beautiful Vetus, and there's a gangster in Vetus. And there's a fight all the time between the two. And I like him. Me and him get down. I bond with him because I get him. I know the kind of guy. I know Vetus, the guy. That being said, there's a good and a bad Vetus, and it's apparent that he's completely manipulative on the show because he wants to win and he's competitive and he's a beast. But it there's also this other part of him that's really beautiful and soft and gentle and loving and spiritual. But he's got the war going on more so than his brother. His brother just egoed himself out of the game. Aris is an idiot. Aris could have won.
He was in a very good spot early on in the game.
Aris let his ego walk him out of the game. He needed to chill the fuck out, and he gave up way too information. He's by far the smartest guy out there, and he talked too much so that he could feel or he could get the validation of people going, "Oh, right, Aris is smart." And the second you put that out there, you get that respect, but then you get people like me or Vetus or whoever going, "Wait a minute, I don't want this guy," or Tyson, "I don't want this guy anywhere around me because I know he's got a shot to win it." Mm-hmm. He put himself a fucking target right on his back. And I also think a lot of it had to do with when he won the show. We're just going to stay here because I'm going to smoke all.
Okay.
When he won the show as a 24-year-old kid, I think he looks back on it, and I think he caught some flack because he was like the most vanilla winner, the fucking softest winner. And I think 10 years later, as a man, as a 33-year-old man, I think he wanted to kind of prove to the world that he had grown up and was, look at me, I'm smart. Like, I'm going to be the second-time winner. He put himself too far out there, and he should have. He was too smart for his own good, I think. How about this? I haven't really even talked about it with Art, like his point. We talked a little bit when it was coming out, but we haven't talked in weeks. But Aris got ahead of himself, and Aris's ego, because he could have won. He could have won in a walk. It's embarrassing that he got clipped. He's on the jury, right?
He's on the jury. First person on the jury.
Right.
So what do you think he should have done? So he's in that same situation. Now, there was the whole thing with, you know, Tina tells Monica, "Hey, you know, you're
Monica
solid in our
should have
our
gotten
book.
Clipped a long time ago. One of those people at some point should have registered. She's a flip-flopper. She's a because all Monica wants to do is feel safe.
Yeah.
If you make Monica feel safe, you've got her to the end. Tyson has made her feel safe, so she's rolling. Wonderful lady, I would imagine. Seems like a fucking super hard worker, right? Real nice on the eyes. A pleasant woman, like a really good person, you can tell. But if she doesn't feel safe, she starts to make real trouble for herself and will flip-flop and is just like a little girl is just looking for safety somewhere. And I would have noticed, if I'd have been on the show, I would have noticed that and been like, we can't have this type of emotional chaos going on in a person and have them in any. I would have been like, I dig you. I like you. You got to go. And that should have happened a lot sooner. Because Aris was in with her and.
Yeah, he basically had like two things going on. He had like the group of people that he started with, but then also then they wanted to bring in, you know, because Tina and Otis, they had their loved ones still in the game. And so they were sort of like, hey, we're in this alliance with Jervis. And
everyone was worried about like getting to the merge with the loved one thing.
Well, they were like, hey, let's keep Vetus around. Let's keep Katie around. And then everybody else in the alliance was like, well, if you're keeping Vetus around and Katie around, does that mean that I'm out of the alliance?
Right.
So they basically went to all the other people that didn't have loved ones and said, hey, look, these people have loved ones. They've got to go.
Right.
So it's all of us without loved ones in the game stick together. And it sort of like ended up being this whole other different tribe that
Aris made himself too big of a target by playing fucking. He wanted everyone to know how smart he was out there in that costume.
But is there any way that Otis and Vetus don't get split up? I mean, is there any under any scenario? Do you keep those two guys both in the game?
No, one of them goes.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them. And a lot of it has to do with it. When it comes down to that, a lot of it has to do. And this is people that haven't been on the show. A lot of it has to come down with people that you just don't want to fucking be around, right? And I would have probably wanted to be around Aris more than Vetus. If I'm not, I would have smelled, I'd have been like, Vetus doesn't seem, there's a duality to Vetus. There is, and you can tell. And Vetus acting like spiritual guy around, and then you get with him in a corner and you're with him and he's talking like fucking gangster, I'd have been like, wait a minute, those two aren't matching up. And I would have voted him. Aris could have won it 100%.
if he would have thrown
he's a
his
likable dude,
if he would have thrown his brother under the bus, if he said, "Hey guys, look, I know my brother's here, but this is," if he would have done what Sierra did and said, "Hey, look, you guys are my alliance. When Vetus comes, look, I love my brother, but when it comes to the merge, he's got to go, just like everybody else."
Well, he should have. How about this? He definitely could have said that.
Yeah.
To at least put that in his alliance's mind. Maybe not thinking that, like he could have, you know, he could have proffered that up and been like, "Listen, at the end of the day, it's my brother. It's not my wife. It's not my son. It's my brother. There's a rivalry. And at the end of the day, if he's got to go in order for me to stand true here so that we can get deeper, then I'll do that." He should have said that and maybe not held up to it, but he could have said that and gotten himself further. He definitely did not separate himself enough from Vetus or that we saw.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like if there was a blood versus water too, and you and your son were both on that season.
Sure.
Now you're a you're not a slouch in the challenges. Your son is obviously an athletic guy. Like, do you feel like people are going to say, "Well, we can't let these two men"?
First of all, I'm not. It's 10 years later. I'm 43. I'm more old man than I am. Like, I'm not like Brad Culpepper old man.
Right.
Like, I'm more on the fucking Rudy old man. Like, I've gone way down the thing. My kid would be a threat because he's a beast. He's 6'5" and played major high school basketball. I mean, he's an animal.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be apples to apples with but two men, like the male teams. I feel like in a blood versus water, you gotta say we gotta split these guys up. You can't have two.
Yeah, no, male just purely because of society. People were more intimidated by a male than they would be by a male female or a female female.
Yeah.
How about this? Boston and I wouldn't do a blood versus water. We wouldn't. I would not get on the show and have anybody talking about them clipping him. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets a machete in the face.
Yeah.
If they're going to fuck him over.
Right.
And how about this? I think they probably knew that maybe when after I'd sat down with the show. I don't. Who knows? Boston and I aren't going to go on that show. It's
right.
Not going to happen.
Right. Okay. So let's see. How are we doing on time? What time is it?
We're doing all right.
We're doing all right. So
I got to be out of here at 1:30.
1:30. What time is it now?
105.
Okay. So let me grab my paper with some questions. I feel like we haven't talked enough about the finale coming up yet. I feel like we've done a
there's nothing to talk about with the finale.
Well,
it's a bummer. Jervis is going to get blanked 9-0 and Tyson's going to win. And
can Monica say anything in the finals?
Monica doesn't have the skill set, the articulation ability to say any. Oh, is it going to be three?
It's the final three, yeah.
It's a final three?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're on the jury,
yeah.
Who are you voting for?
Well, I'm going to vote for Tyson, but I feel like if
he did the most to win.
How about at the final five? Should Monica, let's say whoever comes back into the game, should Sierra and whoever comes back in the game, should Monica go and vote with them and vote out Tyson and Jervis?
Should what?
So if somebody's coming back from the game, it's
Monica
either
Monica should flip, but she won't.
Yeah.
Monica's locked. Tyson has made Monica feel safe. Monica is doing whatever Tyson says.
If
Monica feels safe, it's a wrap. You make Monica feel safe, you have her till the end. That's all that woman needs is to feel safe. Period, the end.
So what will she say in front of the jury? If somebody gets up and says, "Monica, what have you done to get to this point?" Somebody's going
to
say that.
I would love to help Monica with that pitch.
Help her.
I would just say, if I was Monica, I would just say, "Listen, here's the deal. We've been through this 1,000 times on this show. We've been through this routine. The routine is the guy fucking was the mastermind, did what he did, fucked some people over, but that's the game, and I deserve because I did the most, and he wins. That's not how this season needs to go down. We need to think about us as individuals, personally, as people, and all of you need to vote with your heart. I have fucking hustled my ass off. I have been a nonstop hard worker at camp. I have endured. I have won many challenges. And I was the cog that allowed Tyson and Jervis to get as far as they got. That being said, I'm no less valuable than Tyson. I am no less valuable than Jervis. And I have done enough to win. And on top of that, I'm the most likable motherfucker in the building. I need your vote. Period. Let's not do the run-of-the-mill creep runs the game and gets the fucking glory because everyone's like, "Oh, fuck that. I deserve to win because I'm the best person here. And they're not here without me.
That would be a good speech.
It would.
I don't think she's going to say that.
She's not.
I don't think she's going to say that.
She's not going to say that.
So the way that they...
What is Jervis going to say? What Jervis is going to be like, he's going to... I'm going to give you Jervis's speech.
Okay.
When does this show go up?
This is going to go up tonight. Thursday night.
Jervis is going to... I let everybody believe that Tyson was in charge. It was all part of my strategy to be fucking next to the alpha male. I let him take all the heat. It was smart for me to do. Give me your vote.
That's a Jervis impression?
That is a Jervis voice. That's what he's going to say.
I think he's going to say, hey, if you don't like my game, don't vote for me. Which is, I always find to be a curious play.
It's an idiotic speech.
And, but a lot Jervis of people do that. Hey, if you don't like me, then screw you. Don't vote
Jervis
for me.
Jervis has no choice. No chance. Tyson's winning.
Yeah. It feels like that.
It has to.
It feels like it has to.
Unless fucking, I mean, Monica, Laura, and Sierra, if they got together. This was the epic part of the game where I literally got up. My girl was watching, and I got up and I was screaming at everybody. I wasn't screaming, but I got up. I got animated. There was the challenge where people ate or they got up.
Yeah, eat or compete.
Four and three.
Yeah.
Three people ate, and four people did the challenge. At that point, someone in those four people needed to look at the other three that were in the challenge and go, here's the deal. The lines are set here. It's in our faces. The four of us, we need to scrap everything that's happened up until this point. And the four of us deserve to win. Those three fucking losers over there that are eating that did not fucking show up because me included, I didn't deserve to win because I had a challenge where I chose to eat instead of play the game. And I should not have, just purely by that, yeah. I should not have been allowed
the
to win.
The problem there was that.
What's the problem?
Well, the problem there was because
Rob, we're scrapping the game right now. We start over.
Yeah.
Those three people that are in your alliance, Rob, are eating while you're standing here trying to win. What does that tell you, Rob? That tells you that you're the fourth guy out.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling safe enough, and those three are, what does that tell you?
Well, let me tell you what the problem is there. That the one of the people that was eating was actually number four, but she thought she was number three. And one of the people that was competing was actually number three. And the person who was eating mistakenly believed the person that was competing was number four. Sierra thought she was three.
Right, but that's the other great thing about Monica is there was no way Monica was ever going to eat.
No.
That's not in her. And she was going to fucking try and win.
And she could use a snack at this point.
She could use a snack. I mean, she's actually really just kind of perfect.
Perfect.
The way she is right now.
Oh, my God.
Not perfect. She's hot, though.
Yeah. So that
we've drilled that in. We've drilled that in.
Brad and Monica. Very appropriately, it's been drilled.
Shane and Courtney want to go on a double date with you.
So, all right. So, going back to Sierra, would you agree that she kind of screwed this game up at the final seven when it was the four people who were the newbies? They come up with this plan. Let's vote out Tyson, Jervis, and Monica.
How about this?
She told Tyson.
I don't think that she's fucked the game up. I don't think she's played. How about this? I think she's been game.
Yeah.
I think she's been great for the show. I think she's been very game, and she's been fucking really interesting to watch. The other guy who has been surprising is the cute guy.
Hayden,
who you immediately want to hate because he's super good looking.
Yeah.
And I initially was like, this fucking douche.
And I'm going to guess you hate Big Brother.
I hate Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my girl watches Big Brother. I watch Survivor. There was a whole thing this summer because the Time Warner took it. Anyway. And my girl's like, you should go on the show. You should go on it. You'd win it. I'm like, I don't want to go.
You would lose your mind 3 days into Big Brother.
I definitely don't. People that go on Big Brother are purely going on it to be on television. Mm-hmm. Purely to get famous.
Right.
Like Survivor, there is a reason to be on television, right? It's to go. And my initial reason was to want to win the game. That being said, this kid's a really beautiful kid. And you're like, he's got the worst shirt on ever. The bad fucking
tank top
thing.
Yeah,
it's like horrendous. I'm like, who is this douche? And the guy wins Big Brother, right? Which I think has to make you a douche if you win Big Brother.
Is that how that works?
I think you are just immediately in the douche club if you win that show. But as the show has progressed, I admire his moxie down the stretch.
He's played balls to the wall the last couple of weeks.
He has done fucking great. I have nothing but respect. The shirt's rough. The Big Brother douche title is rough. I got to say, though, he has been great for the game. He has fucking, he has tried his ass off.
Very few people have gone to a tribal council where they're the person who's going home and then not gone home and not had an idol or anything like that.
And that happened.
That happened last week with the Rocks. He was going home.
And he did. He's had moxie, 100%. I'm not mad at him.
Katie went home. Yeah.
Not mad at him.
He was very good. Something interesting that happened this season was that, so he's, Hayden's dating this girl, Kat, who's on the show.
Bummer.
That's a bummer for him?
For him. Oh. What a bummer.
So she gets voted off, and she says, oh, man, I'm so disappointed because Hayden's not going to want to date me because nobody wants to date somebody who didn't make the merge. Is that true?
I can't even begin to address the idea that a woman thinks that her relationship is in jeopardy if they don't make the merge on a reality show. Like, the idea that that's even in her brain should really tell you where their relationship is. Would you say
you think that's not a good sign?
That is just not a good thing on any day of the week.
Yeah.
Any day. And, I mean, come on. She's an idiot, that girl. Could you deal with that girl for five? That's Courtney Merritt is what that is. That's Courtney Merritt of my season.
Yeah.
She's got to never stop talking, right?
Yeah.
Full of anxiety. The way that she gets rid of her nerves and anxiety is she talks until I would just be like, shut the fuck up. Done. And this Hayden guy, this fucking guy, dude, this broad is way under your fucking pay grade.
No, that's not, they're perfect for each other. That's a good couple.
No, based on what I've seen and how this guy has progressed in the game, he's got to shoot higher than that. That is a reality.
So you're saying because he made the merge and she didn't?
Of course not. What I'm saying is, based on what I've watched, he seems like a pretty put-together kid.
Yeah.
She's way under his pay grade, 100%. He needs to shoot higher.
No, I think you're being short-sighted, Shane.
I'm not being short-sighted.
You're being short-sighted. You're selling Kat short. Let's see. So I got a couple of, you know, a lot of these things we've talked about.
You
got
to work on your segues. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got to work on that. A lot of things we got to work on. Zach Brooks wants to know, who the hell would order lobster as their reward meal on Survivor? That was one of the choices last night on the Survivor menu. Why would anybody get a lobster on
Survivor?
Because
they've been eating fish for 35 days?
Yeah, I guess so.
I would have ordered the steak. I mean, I don't know. I was actually thought about it. I was like, this kid, why is he eating pizza? But I guess, I don't know.
Have you ever had the Survivor pizza?
I have not.
Yeah.
Is it terrible?
It's pretty terrible.
It's terrible.
It's
right?
pretty terrible. It sounds good in your head, but then when you
I would have gotten whatever the most protein was. I would have gotten the steak because that would have helped the fucking process or the hamburger. I didn't get the pizza, and I definitely wouldn't eat the lobster. I've just been eating fucking shit out of the water for fucking 2 months.
Yeah. Robert Lee wants to know, would you consider
Robert E. Lee?
No, not the Confederate general. Robert Lee wants to know, who would you consider Tyson the villain of this season?
No.
Who would you Jervis?
I don't know if there's really been a villain. Tyson's not been a villain. He's just been the manipulator and the orchestrator. And how about this? These people that have been on multiple times, this guy's been on 11 times, right?
Tyson? This is number three.
Whatever. Many.
Yeah.
Many more than he probably should have. I think that those newcomers, when you've got, there must be some sense, the way that you hold yourself, if you've been out there a half a dozen times, you must feel really comfortable and that must emanate and people must feel safe around you and they must, because that Sierra broad throughout the year was always going to Tyson, like, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What, showing him the clue?
Yeah.
Is she out of her fucking mind?
You know, Tyson.
Did she show him the clue?
Tyson is very charming. I think Tyson has a very good personality. I think people like being around Tyson.
Okay, I've not. Yeah, I've never been around the guy.
Yeah, and so I think that does a lot. I think that people are drawn to him.
100%. But she showed him the clue.
She showed him the clue. Yeah.
Isn't that fucking ridiculous?
And then she voted against him that night. Yeah, it was not a good idea.
Well, she voted against him that night because she sat in the fucking, she sat at the tribal council and got the vibe and knew she was cooked. And she made a strong move to draw rocks.
That was good.
I think. However, showing him the clue is fucking mortifying. I was like, you fucking dumb broad.
What did you think about this season where they give the clue to somebody at the Redemption Island and then people were throwing it in the fire? You like that?
I'm not mad at it. I think that people have done the right thing with the clue for the most part. I wouldn't want the clue. I would have either taken the clue. How about this? I would have either put the clue in the fire, or if my son would have given me the clue, I would have given the clue to everyone on the island. On my tribe, like in my tribe, I would have been like, here, we'll all have it. Let's all go scavenge it. Let's all get it in the game. Let's all, you know what? I would have put it in the fire. What am I talking about? Right in the fire.
Jordan Kalish wants to know, while Aris has a generally positive edit in Panama, he was portrayed as kind of cocky this season. Based on your experience with him, who is the real Aris?
Well, I think we broached it. They're the same guy. They're just 10 years older. And I think Aris really wanted people to think, the first time wasn't a fluke. I didn't fly under the radar. Like, he wanted to prove to the planet that he was smart and intelligent, and it cost him. That's what happened with Aris.
I love Aris, for the record.
Aris is fucking great. Good dude.
He's a great guy. And I didn't know him particularly well at all.
He has grown up, though, and there is, he was such a sweet, idealistic kid then. And at the time, I think I was 34 and had already gone through 1,000 wars. But he was a young kid. He's definitely more realistic now than he was idealistic. Like, yeah, I mean, how about this? We were playing a mafia game 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's a fun game.
Yes.
He looked at his wife and was like, I swear on our relationship, I'm not in the mafia.
And then he was. Whoa.
So I'm like, and it bummed me out. Like, I was bummed. I was like, what? Dude, we're playing a game. Like,
yeah.
And he clearly was not connected to it in the way that I would be connected to it. But I was like, that's fucking weird.
Dude. Yeah.
By the way, his wife's great.
Yeah.
They're having a kid.
They're having a kid. And yeah, they're getting married.
How about that kid is going to be fucking ugly, huh?
Yeah.
That's an ugly kid coming. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But great
that's
guy.
That is a god and a goddess are fucking to have. I mean, that kid is going to be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Have you seen his wife?
I've never met her in person. I've seen pictures, though.
She's fucking smoking.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
They're going to have an ugly kid.
It's got a good-looking uncle, too.
Vetus is not a bad-looking guy.
not a bad-looking guy. He's going to be stuck.
Chicks fucking, they get over on that fucking... You will get some pussy. If you fucking are yoga dude,
yeah.
Chicks will throw panties.
You're saying I'm in the wrong line of work? What about podcasting?
You and I are in bad shape.
I think you're in better shape than I am.
Vetus is a fucking beast with that whole yoga routine.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Did we talk about this last time? Owen Craig wants to know, what are your thoughts on BlackBerry's declining fortunes? Is it their fault for not making you their spokesperson?
This is fucking stupid. Let's just move on. It's so fucking stupid. What's that guy's name?
That's from Owen Craig.
Owen Craig, you're an idiot. Fucking ridiculous. That question is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Owen, you're a dumbass.
Did we cover, Blue Bear wants to know, if you were Hayden or Sierra, what would you have pitched to Monica? We talked about what you would say to Monica.
No, I just watched, they did a very strong job.
Yeah.
I think they both fucking did great. And I think that, at the end of the day, Monica feels safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tyson has created that for her, and she's going to the end with him. But they did a fantastic job.
I thought they did a good sales job.
No, they fucking killed it. They could not have done any more.
Yeah.
They couldn't have.
Yeah, very good. Let's see. How about during, they had this reward challenge last night, and so they, or the immunity / reward challenge, and so Sierra wins the challenge, and they say, okay, Sierra, you get to pick one person to go with you and go eat the food. She picks Hayden. Was this a very bad job to not
pick? It wasn't bad. She should have taken Monica, and they didn't go anywhere, right?
They didn't go anywhere. They stayed at the camp.
Why are you panicking?
I'm trying to see if I can reach my phone to see if I have more questions that came in since I left my house.
Got you. She should have taken Monica to go eat. She should have. How about this? I don't know if it would have worked. I don't know if it would have helped, but she did definitely miss a bit of an opportunity to at least keep getting in her head.
Yeah. Now, but is it worse, though, that like, then can Jervis and Tyson then say to Monica, like, you know that the only reason why she took you was because she's trying to get you to switch? Like,
of course. Who cares?
Yeah.
Of course. She wants to have a discussion with me. Of course.
Yeah. Well, because he could have had good private time with her. Were you surprised they let that Tyson and Jervis let Monica have that conversation with Sierra by the beach? Would you have let that happen if this was yours? There's somebody who is the could be the swing vote.
How about this? I don't. Tyson's in. Tyson knows. Tyson knows Monica's not. They could have. The edit is the edit. Anybody who complains about their edit on the show is an idiot. Period. But they do edit it for entertainment value or to ratchet up the suspense. If Tyson felt like there was real trouble, there would not have been a conversation going on between Sierra and Monica. Monica was firm that whole time. They made it look like she might not have been, but she's not going anywhere.
100%.
She's in. 100%.
Earlier in the season, we had this guy Colton came back this season, and then he quit the game.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking... That guy... Ooh-wee. How about this? What a nice guy
Caleb.
This fucking man is.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very sweet... I mean, clearly, that fucking Colton guy, he's a fucking damaged little kid. That guy needs a
Did you see his
hug.
First season?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. But I saw this one. He is.
He was worse the first time.
How is that possible?
He was making, like, racial remarks and stuff like that. And he's also, came off as very elitist, as like, I have money, like, I have... You know,
that's what you want to put out there on Survivor.
Yeah.
Idiot. I don't need the money. That's the first thing you want to say out there. How about this? There's no reason to have any type of discussion about Colton. Colton is thoroughly fucking damaged as a person. And he's beyond. He's like beyond any kind of fucking disaster.
Beyond any disaster.
Beyond. I don't even want to talk about him. It's just not even worth it. He's a fucking lonely, damaged kid.
Okay.
Spillman fucked that up. Spillman, that was idiotic.
That was a bad job to bring him back.
I really like the casting. I think they did good with the casting. Spillman and Probst, because Probst is running that show now.
Yes.
Burnett is fucking, he's in Voiceland, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Spillman, you fucked that up. 100%. That guy should never have been on the show.
All right. Dave Hunter wants to know, what's it like to be the smartest person all the time and surrounded by completely stupid, blind, idiot zeros?
I don't know. I don't think I'm fucking... I don't. That would intimate that I'm the smartest guy in the building, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a dumb question because I don't necessarily think I'm the smartest guy in the building.
Let's see. Let me see if I have any other questions. Anything else that you want to talk about from the season?
No, I think it's been fun. I think it's been interesting. I think I've gotten everything out there. There's nothing else that's any type of memorable. I'm bummed that at that challenge with seven left and the three that ate and the four that good that the four didn't band together. That was when it was over. That's when I knew it was a wrap.
But you wanted that Monica was one of the people that didn't eat. You think Monica would have switched to go with the other people?
I think if I would have been one of the four up there and we would have been holding those pails, I would have started in with my fucking pitch. And Monica, yeah, I think I could have got I think I could have got Monica to do anything I wanted to do.
Adam Selkovo wants to know, who's this season's Courtney? Is there a Courtney this season?
That fucking cat broad.
Cat
broad's an idiot.
Blue Bear wants to know, the family visit is an iconic Survivor episode. This is the first season without one. Are you disappointed we didn't get a family visit?
No. It's a blood versus water. It'd be ridiculous.
It'd be awkward.
You have another one? Hey, you have a third fucking
another,
family.
Here's another person. David Mansfield first wants to know.
These fucking questions are weak.
What is the story behind the shirt you wore to the final tribal council in Exile Island? Is there a story about the shirt?
The shirt. I was in New York. They put everybody in a hotel. I specifically got another hotel away from the madness. I put my son and Bird in my room, my mother and my aunt in another room next to them in the quote unquote Survivor hotel, and I stayed like 50 blocks over because I wanted nothing to do with.
Is it New York?
It was in New York. Okay. I wanted nothing to do with like. Hey, we're all on the show. And I was really having, I was very, at that time of my life, I was very freaked out that I was going to be a reality star. I was panicked.
Yeah.
Because I caught a lot of flack from my partners at the time. They were like, you're an idiot. You're a fucking, is that who you are now? You're a reality guy? So I was, at that time, I was terrified. I stayed at a totally different hotel. What was the question?
About the shirt for the finale.
So I left, I went and got a shirt. I went to Barney's or something and I got, I don't know, I got this fucking shirt. I liked it because it, I liked it because it had the huge cuffs and I clearly knew I was supposed to put cufflinks on. I was like, fuck it. And I was making a thing. I didn't wear shoes, I don't think. I think I went bare feet, jeans, and a, I looked ridiculous. I looked absolutely ridiculous. I looked like a Harry Potter guy on acid.
But was that your intention? Did you say, hey, I want to look that, or was just like, I'm so out of my mind right now. I think I definitely
wanted to make some type of an impact or some, I wanted to make a statement. I definitely didn't want to look done up.
Yeah.
And I wanted to like, I wanted to, there was definitely some thinking about it. It wasn't like I just put something on and ran to the thing. I definitely went to the store and was like, okay, what do I want to present to the planet? And that's what I picked. And I was the only guy that didn't put makeup on. They put makeup on.
And powder, yeah.
Whatever that is, shit is. I didn't do any of that. My hair, I didn't do anything with my hair. But I definitely wanted to portray some type of look, and it was fucking stupid and fun.
So after all this, now, you obviously, you have a very love-hate relationship with reality TV and Survivor, but you want you do want to do the show again.
There, I do want to do the show again. I do. I don't, again.
But it feels like it would drive you nuts, though, to go, you go and do the show again, and then the whole time it was on, I feel like you would be miserable.
I don't think it would be miserable. How about this? It's such a wild question. It's all based on where you're at in your life, too. Like, how about this? If I was on the show, based on what it is that I've chosen to want to do, because I was in a job that I hated. It was a great job. But I raised my kid with that job. When I was 20, I didn't get the choice to go chase down my dreams, right? I was 21, and you're like, I'm a father. And so a lot of the things that I wanted to do had to go away because I had to make sure that he was taken care of. I got this job that was a great job, but fucking was a bummer. It was a bummer to run clubs and events, and it was a drag. But now that I'm in this part of my life where he's 21 and he's good and I'm 43 and have chosen this, wanting to do this talk show or this radio show or to be like a social satirist, it would be helpful to go on the show. I mean, that's 13 million eyeballs a week.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a reason for me on that level to go on the show, to get the look, to get traffic to my website. So, and this all goes back to that thing we were talking about earlier with me fighting with this idea of ambition, right?
Yeah.
And that would be, I would do it for that. And I would also do it because I want to play again. I do. I mean, it's so not even the game that I played 10 years ago. Well, that you were part of that or in those seasons, like whatever's going on now is not that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to articulate that, but it's not, it's definitely not. And how about this? You could even make an argument that I didn't really play in a pure form. Like, you played a pretty pure, like, you were season four?
Six.
You were still, that was only, you played a pretty pure version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In its purest form. I was right at the point where it was starting to become, I mean, how about this? You could argue that I was the first flat out character to come from the show. Like, Johnny played the game and was a character because he's a kook, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he made it, but I was they didn't show a lot of my gameplay on the show, right? It was a very simple thing. There wasn't a lot of chaos. It was like the six of us are going and fuck you if you flip, but I'll kill you. And no one flipped. And there was not a lot of like movement or playing until it got down. And then I'm one of the very first characters that's ever purely for the state, for the art, I was a character.
And different than Johnny Fairplay. You didn't do shtick.
Johnny played the game.
Yeah, but he also like was like, hey, I'm doing this for the, like, you wouldn't like, you know, like the grandma thing is a thing. I thought of this ahead of time before I go out there, and I'm going to do that on the show. That, you know, nothing you did was, you know, a premeditated.
Nothing. Right. And the one thing I think, this is the one thing that always pisses me off, because not, people can say what they want to say. And that doesn't bother me. The one thing that's always bothered me about people that watch the show or that sucks people, by the way, Survivor Sucks, you rule. I don't go on you very often, but when I do, I have gone on a little bit this year. You guys are rad. The idea that people think that I was a recruited still to this day bums me out.
Your tape is out there.
Like, because I literally was in my friend's house and I was like, fuck, you know what? I want to be on this show. And I went and spent like a month making a tape. Like, I really
Of the best tapes, hands down.
Whatever. I really did want to be on the show. I didn't get recruited. That's, I don't know why that bums me out. But I was on it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And I was definitely very super authentic on the show.
Yeah.
For sure. I think that I didn't know the power of the confessional thing. Like, there were so many days there'd be like, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm not doing that. Like, they call you over for a confessional,
right,
and be like, oh, suck a dick, I'm not doing that today. A, because I'm not here to do that. I would definitely use the confessional more.
Yeah. It's your chance to tell your story.
It is.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Back then. I would use it now.
All right. Listen to Shane. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I know you're gonna kick me out in a minute.
You're gone in 2 minutes.
Gone in 2 minutes. All right. So listen.
You have 120 seconds. So 100... Let's hear your outro.
Well, I'm gonna say I'm gonna have plenty of time to do my outro at this. My show's not gonna end at this point, so I'm gonna have plenty of time to talk.
Definitely should.
So you definitely should. So Shane, how do we listen to the podcast?
Just go to ShanePowers.com. It's on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Or you can go to iTunes and type in the Shane Show.
Yeah.
And it's just me running my mouth.
You have guests?
I do, from time to time. I've had fucking. Just go listen to it. You can find it. There's plenty of treats on there, plenty of guests, and a lot of me running my mouth.
All right. Shane Powers, listen to the podcast. Never boring.
Never
always,
boring.
Always has a strong opinion.
Always have a strong opinion.
All right.
I wonder how the people like this one, right? I think I did good.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I gave people tidbits.
I think you got some tidbits. You got some personality. I think it was a fun afternoon.
We had a good time.
All right. I'll be back in the studio for the second half of the podcast.
Bye-bye.
All right, and we're back. There you have it, everybody. Shane Powers back on Rob Has a Podcast. And so I'm back here in the studio for the rest of the show. And that was definitely an adventure. So Shane Powers and I, the first time he came on the show, I'll post a link to that episode. He came to my house. And then this time I went to his girlfriend's house. So who knows where Shane Cast number 3 will be, probably sometime in 2016 or 2017. All right. So we are going to speak with Jeff Pittman in just a bit. We've got a fun voicemail segment coming up for you guys. But I mentioned it at the top of the show, and I just want to talk about Squarespace, which is the easiest way to get a new website or blog for your small business or whatever you need a website for. Look, as somebody who has a website, I can tell you that it is not a lot of fun to do any sort of website setup. So if you are looking to get a new website set up, you have two options here. You can go ahead and you could either pay somebody a whole lot of money, or you could learn WordPress, and that is going to take up a lot of time, or you can go to Squarespace. And Squarespace is, again, the all-in-one platform that you go there, and they've got all these different templates that are all responsive, which means that they can work on any sort of device that you have, and you can completely customize any website design they have to look and feel like an individual website that you built yourself. And it will save so much hassle for you and also so much money, because these developers, they can be pretty costly and they can end up costing you a lot of time. And you really have no way to tell for real who's, like, how many hours they're working on something or anything like that. So it's very, you know, a good developer is like a mechanic. It's very, you know, it's very hard to find one that is really, really, you know, that you would trust your life with them. And Squarespace really takes away all of the hassle that goes along with setting up a new website. They take care of everything like search engine optimization and hosting, which is another pain in the rear end. Plus, they've got a support team that's there 24/7. Plus, they have plans which start at just $8 a month. So if you want to go ahead and sign up for a free account, you don't need a credit card. You can just try it out and see if you like what your new website looks like. And then if you want to go ahead and purchase it, they've got a special promo code. You can save 10% when you use the promo code that we have here for Rob as a Podcast. Go to RHAP12. That's RHAP12 for the month of December. And that's our special promo code that'll save you 10%. And you can play around on squarespace.com and try to see if you have a website that you like before you go ahead and purchase anything. So squarespace.com, use the promo code RHAP12 and save yourself a lot of aggravation. And of course, we have no aggravation when we are going to listen to your voicemails here on Rob has a Podcast. So let's get into it. And we have on the line with us a man who is the master of the webmaster of True Dork Times. He's also at True Dork Times on Twitter. He follows Survivor very closely all year long. Here is Jeff Pittman.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, well, good to have you back, Jeff. And excited to hear your thoughts on this season. And were you as skeptical as a lot of people were about the blood versus water season?
When I heard, like, over the summer when it was still filming, that they're going to have Redemption Island, I was probably one of the most outspoken people against the concept. And then when I heard all the extra twists that they're adding on top of it, I was beside myself with rage. But everything has actually fallen together pretty nicely, and I was amazed by how good at least the first half of the season was. I'm a little less excited about Redemption Island post-merge, but there's still been a few moments that have kept the season going in good graces.
I think it's been a very good season. I really have been very pleasantly surprised. You know, I was not a vocal critic, but like I sort of was like, all right, you know, this doesn't sound too good, but let me see it, and then I'll have passed my judgment on it. But I was surprised as well. It all ended up working out a lot better than we expected.
Absolutely.
So now Survivor 27. We have this Redemption Island. Everything is good. Let's put ourselves in the time frame of, okay, it's the middle of the summer. We just wrapped Survivor 27. Okay, now here comes Survivor 28, which is presumed to be all new people on it. If we are the producers of Survivor 28, are we saying, hey, Redemption Island worked in Survivor 27? Do you think that we will bring Redemption Island back for Survivor 28?
I think that they had to plan, they have to build Redemption Island Arena so far in advance that they probably had to make that decision before they got done filming 27. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to guess no.
You say no Redemption Island. Well, if the fact that they shoot the two seasons back to back, they have the set already for Redemption Island. Do you think that they would use it because they have the set built?
I guess they could. They'd still have to change out all the set decorations and stuff so that it looks different. But I certainly hope they don't, because I would like to see something different
right, from
season to season.
Well, you know, just thinking back to it. So the two times that we had Redemption Island previously was in the appropriately named Survivor Redemption Island, which was on the back half of the season filled in Nicaragua. So they did not. So they used it in the second one. So maybe you could say, okay, well, they didn't think of it until the second one. But then in South Pacific, so South Pacific and One World get filmed back to back. So they have Redemption Island in. Now they build the set for Survivor South Pacific, but then they don't use Redemption Island for One World. So I guess that it goes against my point of if they have the set built, that they will be more likely to use it.
Yeah, that was really odd, because they had season 22 aired and had all the reactions to Redemption Island, a lot of which were negative, and then they went out and did it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll see. You know, the show is always going to surprise us. It's like, you know, the show is going to do what the show is going to do. Like, it's very, very rarely will they say, you know, we listened to our audience on this and decided, you know, not to go this way. It's like a lot of times they say, you know, we're just going to do what we feel like doing.
Yeah, Jeff Probst listens to what we say, and then he does what he wants to do.
Yeah, but in fairness to him, Redemption Island had drama this season.
In fairness to him, he got it right this time.
Yeah. Now, would you say that Redemption Island, the things that worked about it was A, because it was loved ones, you know, and you had to see your loved ones compete, or B, because everybody was there at the same time and it sort of turned into, you know, this sort of crazy free-for-all, or both?
I think it's both, but I think it's mostly that everybody was there to see what was going on, and they had the chance to interact with each other.
Yeah.
Both the two tribes interact with each other, and the people in the audience interacting with the people in the arena.
Yeah, because we did have a little bit of the free-for-all aspect in Survivor South Pacific back when it was like Christine and Stacy were basically calling out Coach all the time and calling him Benjamin. But I don't remember us saying that was as good as what we saw on this season.
Well, Russell Hance did it way back in season 22 when he was just spilling all the beans as he was going out the door.
Yes, as opposed to when his nephew came back to Survivor and spilled the beans.
Yeah, different kind of beans filling.
Yes. All right, so we'll see what happens. Are you excited for the finale?
I am excited. I want to see how this plays out.
Yeah, and have you had a favorite player to watch this season?
Oh, I've been rooting for Tyson since I heard that he was on.
Yeah, what is it that appeals to you about Tyson?
Just from listening to him on Arhab.
Oh, yes.
He's probably your best guest. And I would be happy to listen to him talk about anything for 3 hours at a time.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting, the podcast that I posted recently it was basically of him from a year ago, because a year ago, it did not seem like Tyson was crazy about Survivor. And it almost was like Tyson seemed to be at a point where he's like, hey, if I never play Survivor again, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I was saddened when he said that, and it sounded like he meant it, but I'm glad he changed his mind.
Yeah. All right, well, let's segue into a voicemail here, because this is one about that very subject that we're talking about. And let's go to Matt Forsyth to start off the voicemail segment. Of course, you can send us your voicemails. And I think what I'm going to do is, you know, we do the Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the finale, and then we do the exit interviews, and then we don't really do a full recap podcast after the finale. But I'm thinking about doing an all voicemail show next week, all voicemail, and sort of maybe take some questions from Facebook too. So we may do sort of a recap show. I mean, it's only going to be the 16th, so we still have a few days in the month before Christmas. So I think that I'm leaning towards getting voicemail reactions from you guys. So get voicemails in still even after the finale, 323-282-RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Okay, so here's Matt Forsyth.
What's up, Rob and Jeff? Matt Forsyth here. So what do you think is the biggest change in Tyson's game this season as compared to his other seasons that has made him play so much better? To me, it seems like he's a lot more serious about the game this time. But what do you all think? Thanks. Bye.
All right. So, Jeff, what do you think has been the biggest difference in Tyson's game this season?
It's hard to say. I think probably the thing he's doing the best now that he didn't do before is he seems a lot more patient.
Mm-hmm.
That he's willing to, and he's putting in a lot of time into talking to everybody. I'm not really sure why everybody blames him for all the negative things that happen when people get booted, but the fact that they are means that he's being recognized as the guy that's controlling the game. So that's something he didn't do before, because he was happy being the assistant coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been an interesting transformation. Although, you know, I remember during Heroes versus Villains, the one thing that everybody said after Tyson left was, you know, Tyson was the glue. Tyson was the guy who was keeping the whole alliance of Coach and Jerry with Boston Rob and Sandra and Courtney all together in one group. They said he was the glue, and then once he was gone, then the whole thing disintegrated, and then Coach and Jerry end up going to go and work with Russell and Parvati in that group. Did you buy into that? Did you feel like that Tyson was underrated as a player before coming into the season?
What I want to know with that is, why was he the glue? Was he the person that everybody got along with because he was funny and fun to hang out with? And without him, everybody split into different factions? Or was it because he was actively going and talking to everybody and seeing what was going on and settling Coach down when he was upset?
I don't know. How do you think that Survivor Heroes versus Villains would have, let's go back to an alternate universe, okay? And I know this is somehow controversial if I say that Tyson voted himself out of Survivor Heroes versus Villains. I was getting a lot of negative tweet from one or two people who were saying that Russell Hantz isn't being given enough credit for that was a brilliant move from Russell Hantz. But I don't want to get into that. Let's just say whatever happened that day, Tyson sticks with his vote. They stick with the plan, and Russell Hantz gets voted out that day, right?
Right.
Okay. So Russell Hantz gets voted out that day. You assume that Parvati and Danielle DiLorenzo go home soon after, and we get to the merge on Survivor Heroes versus Villains. And you would imagine that, you know, JT isn't giving the idol away or anything like that, but you would imagine then the heroes get pegonged in that scenario, right?
Well, I don't know. Would Tyson have brought JT in on his alliance? They knew each other.
They did know each other, but like you would think it would almost be like an Otis Vetus type situation where it would be like if Tyson is trying to bring JT in, I got to think that the other villains are getting annoyed about this.
Yeah. Well, as long as he would keep Rupert around, that's the only thing that I'd be hoping for.
But you would, I mean, realistically speaking, you would think that, you know, Boston Rob would have it like he did on Survivor Redemption Island, like he did in Survivor All-Stars, that you would imagine a pegonging of the heroes.
I would guess that would probably be how it would go down, yeah.
So now we get to the final six.
But would Tyson go along with that forever, though?
Well, now we get to the final six here. It's almost like what happens in Survivor Redemption Island. And so you have a final six of Tyson, Boston Rob, Sandra, Jerry, Coach, and Courtney. How do you think that plays out?
I would think Tyson would be in trouble there.
Yeah. You think Tyson gets the Grant treatment? It's basically Survivor Heroes versus Villains becomes Survivor Redemption Island?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So that would be interesting, but we'll see how it works out. Yeah, Tyson has had a new game this season. Do you think that he's playing by the BR rules? You think that it was his? He learned from Boston Rob at all?
I think he's playing his own game, but certainly taking a few. He's taken a few pointers from Boston Rob.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I don't think anybody else could play the same way that Tyson does.
Yeah. Is there a comparison that you would say? Like, I feel like there isn't really another player who is like the leader, but also is, you know, can be kind of a dick also to other people. Like, do you think that there's anybody else like Tyson?
Well, there's this guy that was on Amazon.
No, but I wasn't.
Told a lot of jokes and.
But I wasn't.
Kept like, crossing people.
Yeah, first, like, I was never seen as the ringleader of the alliance, I don't believe. And also, like, I was never. Like, I always feel like. Like, I was pretty, like other than maybe a couple days where I was fighting with Jenna and Heidi, like, I feel like I was always trying to be on good relations with everybody.
Right.
Like, I would never tell somebody off to their face unless we're in, like, the middle of, like, a heated argument.
But has Tyson really done that?
I feel like a little bit like when he's like eating at the challenge and talking about how good the food is, when he tells Katie, hey, go take a seat on the jury. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of some bad sportsmanship there. And I feel like I feel like that's sort of unique to Tyson.
Yeah, I think that's why somebody else couldn't do that, because he can get away with it.
And he gets away with it.
People,
yeah,
expect him to tell jokes.
Yeah, it's very good. Let me ask you about something that I think is interesting. Jeff, have you noticed that there was no call to action for a sprint player of the season?
I actually didn't notice it until people started pointing it out on Twitter this morning.
Yeah, well, all season long, there was no, like, who was the best player of the week? Are you surprised that we are not getting that? And do you think that people, anybody in particular, is being robbed?
Well, obviously Rupert is.
Yes, Rupert is. Yeah, this is a big thing. Now, when did the Sprint Player of the Season come into existence?
That's a good question. It seems like it's been with us forever.
It seems like it's been with us forever. Now, obviously, the first thing like this came about after Survivor All-Stars when we had America's Tribal Council. And so then we gave Rupert $1 million. So that was well-deserved for his efforts on that he was the America's favorite player. And you got to reward that with the same exact amount of money that the person who actually won the game gets. And so then the Sprint Player of the Season came into existence. This would be a good, I'm surprised you don't know this, Jeff.
Well, I've never really taken that award all that seriously.
You don't have stats on this?
No, I do not.
All right. Well, sure. Somebody will tell us when this came into existence, but now it's gone. And so I don't know if, CBS does it need to be a phone carrier or could it be any sponsor can sort of, come along?
Well, I see Microsoft is now sponsoring the videos on their website. So Microsoft has money.
They have money. You would think that they could get in. So with this gaping hole in Survivor, I think it's time for Rob Has a Podcast to step up, Jeff. And I think what we're going to do here, I know what we're going to do here. It is time for the Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season Award. So, Jeff, we are going to open up the polling this weekend. And we are going to have our very own poll for the Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season.
Will they be getting a $100,000 prize?
No, they will be getting something far more valuable. The winner of the Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season will receive, first off, the title of Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season. Okay, there will be a certificate. They will also receive a Rob Has a Podcast coffee mug. They will also receive a signed Magic 8-Ball and a Rob Has a Podcast signed 8x10 from both Rob Cesternino and Nicole Cesternino. And the title, did I mention the title of Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season?
You did.
Okay. Well, here's how you can go and vote. You'll be able to vote. I'm not sure if it's going to be once a day or just once. I'm going to have to check the show notes for the full rules for Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season. And then go to what should we call this? Go to robhasawebsite.com/POTS. POTS Player of the Season. There you go. And you can vote. And then on Sunday night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, we will announce live the winner of the first ever Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season Award.
I am excited, Rob.
Okay, so that's going to be a big deal. And we'll figure out, maybe by next season, we'll figure out a way to get to text your vote. Very good. All right. So,
I'm glad the winner gets the Magic 8-Ball because Magic is awesome.
Yes, the Magic is awesome. Now, not the Magic 8-Ball that went to Survivor the Amazon. You will get a new Magic 8-Ball.
It's important to make that clear, yes.
Yes. This is your own Magic 8-Ball to have your own fun with. Okay, so let's get some more questions. How about let's go to John in D.C. and talking a little bit more, touching on some stuff that we were talking about Redemption Island. Here's John in D.C.
Hi, Rob. It's John in D.C. This season is so openly confrontational, whether it's the last two zany tribal councils or Hayden openly telling Tyson he's trying to flip his alliance. I don't think we've ever seen a season where so many people were strategically calling other people out. And my theory is that Redemption Island set the tone. The confrontation started there and then it filtered into the real game to the point where people have no inhibitions about making dramatic scenes. Though, at least in a returning player season, they all seem to understand it's part of the game. They don't take it personally, although I think Brad may disagree about that. So does that seem right? And if you are in a power position like Tyson and Jervis, or how Brad was earlier in the season, and receiving all this flack, what can you do about it? Jervis's outbursts seem to be the wrong solution, but I don't know how you can avoid taking these game-damaging hits people are willing to fling at you. Thanks.
All right, so Jeff, do you think that there has been more calling each other out in this season than a typical Survivor season?
Well, definitely a tribal council. That was almost starting to get uncomfy there.
Yeah, a little uncomfy. what is the right way to respond to somebody calling you out? Let's role play here. Okay, I'll be Sierra, and you want to be Tyson, or you want to be Jervis?
I'll be Jervis.
Okay. And don't yell, please, that people who are listening to the podcast are not going to, don't blow anybody's eardrums out. Okay. So, all right. So everybody, that Jervis is going around, he's talking mad crap about everybody. Monica, he said that you were stupid. He said you were the dumbest thing ever since a cow. And that's what he says every day when you're not around. And he said your husband isn't even that good he said that any Eagle player is better than your husband at football. And that he doesn't even like you.
Don't let that fool you.
That's it? That's what you say?
I have no idea how to respond to that.
This is very tough. I mean,
the problem was that they weren't saying specific things that Tyson and Jervis had said. So how can you refute that?
Yeah, I thought that Jervis actually, before he started yelling, did a good job. I thought he said, look, why are they bringing this up now? Because they are on the bottom. So, you know, if they really felt this way and these things were allegedly said, how come they didn't come tell you that day? So I felt like Jervis did a good job. Then he lost his temper.
And actually, one of Monica's secret scenes, she says essentially the same thing that Jervis said.
Yeah. So do you feel like that Jervis and Monica and Tyson spoke about this before Tribal?
I think they must have.
Yeah. What do you think Monica was talking about how, you know, ethics, she said in the episode at the Tribal Council, she was like, you know, ethics is going to play a part in this game. And so I was like, to me as a viewer, I was like, oh boy, she's pissed. That means she is going to do it. But what did she mean by that? Is there a different meaning that we should be looking at of like, it is going to play a part in this game, as in the jury is going to have their chance to rule and vote on who is the better person?
I think that that's going to be her argument when she, if she makes it to the final three, that she was the most ethical player, the most honest. And maybe that's why she wants to go with Tyson and Jervis, especially if she believes what Hayden and Sierra were telling her.
But Jeff, is there a previous winner that we could look at that can say that they were the person who, you know, the other people just were not nice, and even though they weren't strategic, that they got the jury's vote? Even though they probably are not responsible for anything strategically that happened. I think I can think of two examples that I think the people that are listening are going to be saying.
I think JT sort of fits into that role, although he was certainly involved in the decision making, but I don't think he was the mastermind behind the decision making. He was just a nice guy that was there and won challenges.
But I feel like that JT and Steven were looked at as like a partnership. That they basically, they complemented each other well, and they were in lockstep throughout the way, and people felt like, okay, well, that JT was more like, even though I feel Stephen Fishback far more likable, but I feel like the jury will ultimately, you know, give it to the person who is more likable, as long as they feel like both people have a resume, they'll give it to the person that's more likable.
Right. And then the obvious other two people would be Natalie White and Fabio.
Yes, that's what I was thinking as well, who were also in back-to-back seasons. So I'm sorry, back-to-back with Heroes versus Villains, of course, sandwiched in the middle. So you have Natalie White, but I feel like that Natalie White, at least to some degree, they sort of made it like that Natalie White had some strategy to the game, that she was, they said, oh, she was integral in voting out, was it Eric or one of those votes?
They made the merge, yeah.
Yeah, they made it like that. That was a big deal, and that she got to know everybody personally. And I feel like that they sort of painted it that Natalie White had more strategy going on than Monica does.
Right.
And then Fabio, where it was, Fabio is probably the one that I would say is probably the closest to this, where Fabio had no strategy whatsoever, but he was likable enough, and then he won the final two immunities, and the last two guys that were there with him in Chase and Sash were just completely unappealing to the jury.
Right.
So I think that's what she's got to be. She's got to look at the Fabio model.
Does that really fit with what she was saying in the opening episodes where she was talking about the new Monica and
the new Monica is the old Fabio. That's basically it. She basically, but you know, also the thing with Fabio is that he was the underdog and he was he became the person that everybody on the jury was rooting for, that he was the one who, but Monica, I feel like, has not capitalized yet on being the person that the jury is rooting for.
Not yet.
Yeah.
That sort of gets into something that I wanted to talk about, which is, did Hayden and Sierra pick the wrong person to try to flip?
Oh,
I think that they should try to go after Jervis as their third person rather than Monica.
Well, that's very interesting. Let me just say one last thing about this. That I feel like that Fabio is almost like the Danny Boatwright or Chris Daugherty type situation where he's sort of like the last one left from an alliance where everybody's gunning for him and he wins immunities. And I feel like Monica is seen more as somebody who's in the bad alliance that the jury is rooting against. So I feel like assuming she flips on Sunday night, she can sort of change her story. But until she does that, I feel like the jury is not rooting for her.
But I don't think that that is the argument that Monica would want to present, because I think she wants to present herself as loyal and trustworthy and got there under her own power rather than somebody who flipped.
But has anybody ever won the game by saying, hey, I was loyal and I kept my word? Has anybody ever gotten $1 million by saying that?
Well, she may not be great at Survivor.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about why do you think that Jervis should be the one to flip? Knowing what we know about Jervis, he does not seem like somebody who is going to change what he wants to do here.
Well, part of the reason is that I think because Monica is big on honor and loyalty and integrity, I think that she was an unlikely person to flip on her alliance that had just saved her in the last episode. And also Hayden had started laying the groundwork in the last episode, trying to lure Jervis in.
Mm-hmm.
And also when he said that everybody was playing for second place, Jervis objected strongly to that. And if he could have done it on a more low, if Hayden could have talked to Jervis more about that and said that you need to make this one big move to flip over to our side and that will win the respect of the jury, I think that would have been a better argument than trying to get Monica.
Now, if there was no Redemption Island, if this was the final five, do you think that there would be a greater chance of somebody flipping, whether it be Jervis or Monica?
I'm not sure that Redemption Island really figures into anything at this point. Well, I would assume that everybody that's still in the game at this point is expecting to vote out the person that comes back from Redemption Island, except Sierra.
But the problem is her mom. Yeah, the problem is, though, if you're saying, like, if you think that Jervis is not going to play for second place and you think there's a chance that he might flip. So let's say Jervis flips and he votes out Tyson. Well, one, there's some speculation that Jervis may or may not know Tyson has the hidden immunity idol, but let's just forget about that for a second. Now Jervis flips and he votes out Tyson, and now here comes, you know, whether it's Laura Moret or somebody from I guess now Tyson could come back from Redemption Island now too. So I think that this could be potentially all the outcomes are bad for Jervis, no matter who comes back into the game if he goes against his alliance.
True. Although, hold up, bro. Tyson did tell Monica and Jervis at the start of the episode that he had the idol.
He definitely said that?
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. There you have it. So Monica is annoyed about that. I guess she can't be annoyed now because he told her.
Well, she was annoyed about it.
Yeah.
And
but he's telling her.
Yeah. But that was Tyson's way of getting Monica to stop talking about strategy.
There you go. All right. So let's take our next voicemail and let's talk to let's go to Kevin here. He wants to talk about idol placement. OK, talking about finding the hidden immunity idol. Here's Kevin. in Alberta.
Hey, Rob. Kevin here from Alberta, Canada. Loving your show. I just wanted to ask you about Tyson's second idol. I feel like there might have been some favoritism in where the idol was placed. It was 20 feet up that tree. I feel like if the producers led Sierra by the hand and pointed the idol out to her, she physically wouldn't have been able to get it. I'd like to know your thoughts on that. The show's awesome. Keep up the good work.
All right, so let's talk about that. So the idol was up in the tree, and I didn't really think about this, but do you think that placing the idol way high up in a tree was in some way favoritism on the part of producers, that they knew that it was going to be much more likely Tyson would find it up there?
Well, it's not like you could just reach up there and grab it.
But forget Sierra. I mean, you would not imagine Monica Culpepper, you know, climbing, you know, 20 feet up in a tree either.
But she could show her kids that she's the power mom that can climb trees.
Yeah. Don't talk about power parents after this week on The Amazing Race. But for you would have to imagine, is there some favoritism when they hide an idol way up high in a tree? That's where Ozzy is going to find the idol. That's where Tyson's going to find the idol. Do you think that the producers consciously are saying, like, okay, well, let's put the idol where only one of our, you know, super athletic guys can go find it?
It didn't look all that hard to get up there, and Hayden was obviously up in the same tree this week, so maybe those two, that would get it into one of the two alliances. But what's the alternative? Putting it at eye level?
Sure. So we'll
that's only for Reynolds.
Yes, there you go. All right, so let's go to another question here. And this is a question from Jane. And this question is about Survivor hashtags, which is something that I know you follow very closely. So take it away, Jane.
Hey, Rob. This is Jane. And my question is about Survivor's use of hashtags. I'm noticing recently that when something dramatic happens, the show likes to put up a hashtag about what's happening. And I get that Twitter's big, but do you think this is getting just a little bit excessive? I mean, it started out harmless with, like, hashtag immunity challenge, hashtag immunity idol, stuff like that. Then it moved into the territory of hashtag blindside, which I thought was a little bit sketchy. And last night on my television screen, I actually saw hashtag who's coming back. Do you think this is getting a little bit ridiculous? And how much do you think it actually helps the show? A follow-up question, in light of last night's immunity challenge, do you think we could be headed towards a hashtag you gotta dig deep? Where do you think this all ends? How far do you think they're gonna go with these hashtags? Yeah, that's it. Love the show, and thank you.
All right, that's a great job by Jane. If you want to comment on this discussion, use hashtag voicemail in your tweets to hashtag RHAP. And don't forget, when you vote for our Robinson Podcast Player of the Season, use hashtag POTS to make sure your votes count. All right, so Jeff, let's just talk about this from the, you know, broad strokes. Okay, so I know you are a very avid social media user. Is this effective social media strategy that CBS and Survivor is using over hashtagging the Survivor show?
Well, obviously you can never have too many hashtags on the screen at one time.
Sure.
I actually looked up how many people had tweeted using the Survivors Ready hashtag, which they've been using all season two for the challenges, and it was like 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was the Survivor tweet itself. I can't imagine that that's an effective return on investment for their social media people.
Yeah. No, you would not think so. Well, no, you're not supposed to measure social media in ROI. So, but it does seem, you know, highly ineffective. By the way, just a quick search of who is coming back, right? That was the hashtag they used last night?
Who's coming back?
Oh, so how do you say who is, or it's H?
Who S.
Okay, so who S.
No, who's, no apostrophe.
Who's coming back? See, it's already confusing. Okay, so for who's coming back, I see a total of there's a pretty fair response. I think that there are places where a specific hashtag will work. Like I felt like Coconut Bandits was a good hashtag. I felt like people that was a good one. But I feel like if it's not even something that's said on the show, I don't know. I feel like just the hashtag Survivor, I feel like, should be good. I think if we're breaking up the big hashtag into smaller hashtags, I think we are basically, I don't think it's the right way to go.
I agree. Coconut Bandits was good. Big Bad Wolf was fine. Those were funny. Those are fun. But yeah, just Blindside, Immunity Idol. Those are a complete waste of time, and they pollute the screen.
They pollute the screen, but I just don't think that they're effective either. I think this is a very interesting discussion to have of what's working. Do you feel like other shows tend to do this? Like, let's say you're watching like NCIS, and then somebody gets like slapped in the head, like do they have on the bottom of the screen like hashtag head slap? Like it seems weird that they would do this. I'm trying to remember if they did it on Big Brother too this season, where they put certain hashtags on the screen. I'm wondering if this is unique to Survivor also.
I think it goes well with reality TV. I think it would look really stupid on like Game of Thrones.
What? That would be you think that they shouldn't have put like hashtag Red Wedding on the bottom of the screen?
Well, they could, but
they wouldn't.
It would kind of detract from the suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see exactly how exactly it works out. But I kind of feel like just hashtag Survivor would probably get the job done.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to tweet about Survivor and I'm going to tweet about the immunity challenge, I wonder, am I any more incentivized because they're giving me a specific tweet to use? So interesting.
An immunity challenge is such a long hashtag. Who's going to waste like 20% of their tweet on that?
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's see. And then I have one more question about social media and Survivor. So let me go ahead. Let me play this one. Let me just get it queued up. All right. Here's our second question about Survivor and social media. Here we go.
Hey, Rob and Jeff. My question is that do you think that there will be any of the survivors who, after the firestorm of the whole thing with Twitter and Cochran in the last finale, that were going to go ahead and blurt out their own Twitter names at the finale? And if so, do you think Jeff Probst will have the same reaction he had when Cochran did it? Love the show. Take care. Bye. I'm out.
All right. So, Jeff, this is a very interesting question. Do you think that any other survivors will dare blurt out their own Twitter handles at Sunday night's Survivor finale?
Well, I think the smart move is obviously to blur out Cochran's Twitter handle. But I certainly hope they do, because I was just noticing in the Survivor tweet last night, they refer to the people on Survivor as hashtag Survivor Tina and hashtag Survivor Katie rather than using their actual Twitter handles in their tweets.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But they have Jeff Probst's Twitter handle actually there on the screen in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Now, Jeff Probst, announced last night that they will be catching up with Cochran at the Survivor finale. And so I'm sure that all the other survivors are just probably very disappointed that they will not be spoken to, and we'll spend an extended amount of time with Cochran talking about what's going on the set of the Millers this season. But do you think that they will give the at reply name for Cochran on Twitter when they put him on the screen?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe they'll just say Cochran at the Millers.
Hashtag Millers Cochran. That's what they'll put on the bottom of the screen. Yeah, very, very interesting. Maybe on the Millers, they should put a hashtag Cochran's joke every time that they use one of Cochran's lines. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, who do you think would be the most likely person to use their own Twitter handle on the Survivor finale?
At Rupert Bonham.
At Rupert Bonham. I feel like it's a toss up between at Adas Music. I'm trying to think anybody else who might be into it. I don't know. That would be my bet.
I think we can safely rule out Brad.
Yeah, Brad Culpepper. Maybe Brad Culpepper maybe say, "Hey, I just joined the Twitter." And Monica, what is my name again? What do they call what is it? So that might be good. So we'll see. Another subplot to follow. Are you excited all the survivors will be on the stage?
That is nice to see. I'm glad that they actually listened to the audience and the contestants about that.
Yeah, I think
although I suspect it's just because Brad and Rupert would otherwise not be on stage.
Right, right. I think I was one of the few people that wasn't like totally besides myself about that.
Really?
I mean, I kind of feel like I can understand why they said, "Hey, let's give it a shot," and it didn't work, and people were annoyed about it. But I wasn't I wasn't one of these people that was "How dare you, CBS?" Like I was just like, "Okay," because you know,
but you never do that, Rob.
No, I felt like it was a missed opportunity. I would have liked to have heard from Corinne. I would have liked to have heard from Francesca. But the other people that would pre-merge, I wasn't like, "What? Why we don't get to hear from them?" So what, you know, whatever. And nobody wants to date them anyway. So why would we want to see them on the stage?
Well, obviously.
Yeah. So
I thought it was pretty disrespectful that Corinne went back on the show and starred for 22 days and they can't even bother to put her on the stage.
Yeah, well, that was a mistake. And a mistake just to not even like go down and talk to them and say like, "All right, Corinne," like, you know, instead we talk to a 12-year-old girl who likes Malcolm, but we don't talk to Corinne.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about let's go back to Nathan, who wants to talk about the possibility of the loved ones returning for another stint on Survivor. So let's go to Nathan.
Hey, Rob. Nathan here. Who are your top five favorite loved ones from this season? And which loved one do you think would become an all-star in future season? Could have the biggest chance. Thank you.
All right, Jeff. So Nathan wants to know which loved ones do we think. I'm not going to rank my top five favorite loved ones, but let's just talk about who could we see back. I feel like the number one in the power rankings of who's going to come back, I would feel like, is Sierra. Is that fair?
Yeah. Jeff Probst is talking quite positively about her now. So I would say that's a good shot.
Yeah. Who would you have at number two in the power rankings? Would you say it's Vetus or Culpepper?
What about Hayden?
Or Hayden. That's a good one.
I would think that Hayden would be almost guaranteed to be back.
You have Hayden at number two. Hayden, I'm very impressed with. I think Hayden has done a much better job than I even originally thought he would. He's very much impressed me the last couple of weeks.
And I think his success in the last couple of weeks probably is taking a slot away from Vetus.
Ooh, okay. So
I think they're competing for the same slot.
Now, do you have Vetus or Culpepper at number three in the power rankings?
I really liked Vetus, but I think that Jeff Probst likes Culpepper a lot better.
Okay. And who do you think would be more likely to return to Survivor? Which Biskauskas brother? Do you think that Vetus or Adas would be more likely to return again?
Well, if there's an all-winter season, I think Adas would be an obvious person to
that
ask
helps.
That. What?
That helps. That helps resume. But if they had another all-star season, do you think that it would be Adas or Vetus be more likely to return?
I think Vetus.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. And then I feel like there's a big gap, right? Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting about?
I was just going to look that up.
I mean, Caleb, I guess, but I feel like Caleb is hurt by the Colton thing.
Yes.
He's very much hurt. If Caleb and Colton broke up, I feel like that would help Caleb's chances for a second return to Survivor.
John Cody, maybe.
John Cody. Yeah, I feel like it would be tough to see John Cody. I feel like we'd see Candace a fourth time before we see John Cody in an all-star season.
Probably so, yes.
Probably so. All right, so let's go to another caller. Here is Deb, and she has a question about the finale as well. Here's Deb.
Hi, Rob. It's Deb from Sharkies. Can we just please talk about what's really important? Who is going to get engaged at the finale? Pat and Hayden? Tyson and Rachel? Vetus and Katie? Who else? You tell me. Thanks, and have a lovely cold spell.
Well, did Deb say that she's Deb from Sharkies, the wonderful burrito and healthy Mexican restaurant?
That's what she said.
And then did she say at the end that have a happy cold stone?
Oh.
That boy, Deb is making me so hungry with this call. Well, she's got to get back to work at Sharkies, which is delicious. So she wants to, do we think we'll see any engagements? Now, the last Survivor engagement, I believe, we saw at a finale was way back when David Murphy proposed to Carolina, and I believe that did not end in a successful matrimony.
Oh, it didn't? I never heard an update after that.
I do not believe, now again, where's at Rob's fact checker? I do not believe that Carolina is officially the Mrs. David Murphy at this point in time.
Well, that's disappointing.
It did not end in a successful trip to the altar. Of course, who could ever forget the famous Rob and Amber engagement from Survivor? Also, has there been another one?
At a finale?
At a finale.
Not that I remember.
Hey, do you think that we will see a wedding proposal on Sunday night? What's the Vegas odds?
I doubt
8-1.
8-1. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and who do you think would be the most likely of the three couples mentioned? You think that Tyson and Rage, does that seem like a Tyson thing to do?
I don't think Tyson would do that.
What about a Hayden and Kat?
Can Kat propose to Hayden?
I think that would be the most likely scenario, that Kat is like, I'm thinking long term, okay? Let's do this. What do you say? And then he's going to say, what, Kat, do you really think that we should do this right now? Like, oh, okay, I guess not. I guess you're right. Probably no Vetus and Katie either.
Aw.
Yeah, probably not. All right, we got one last call. This wasn't an international voicemail, Jeff. This one is from Slade in Sydney. You ready?
All right.
All right, take it away, Slade in Sydney.
Hey, Rob. This is Slade from Sydney, Australia. I have a question about Sierra and Tyson's plans for her in this game. In my opinion, I feel Tyson has been betrayed by her scheming, and he has bigger plans for her. And he intended to vote her out this week, except she won immunity. But, in his opinion, her being voted out would be a release from this game, and her sentence is yet to be carried out. Tyson is going to tear everything Sierra cares about away from her, destroy those who choose to follow her, corrupt those she loves. And once she has lost everything and everyone she values, Tyson will get his alliance to eliminate her. All right. Thank you. Bye. Love the podcast.
Thank you, Slade. Thank you. Boy, they take their Survivor very seriously in Australia.
They do.
Do you think that Tyson's plan is to take everything that Sierra loves away from her before him and his alliance can eliminate her from the game? Will he destroy her?
Well, he can't take her immunity necklace away from her.
Wow. Yes. Boy, that's a Slade. That was the most intense voicemail we've ever gotten in the history of Robin's podcast.
I think that's probably Tyson's plan, since she's not in his alliance.
Yes, and then he will destroy her.
I suppose.
Oh, my God. All right. Sorry. I guess the Slate has his finger on the pulse of what Tyson is thinking. All right. And those are the voicemails, of course. I mentioned it before. We're going to take your voicemails after the finale. And then, you know, you have to do it the night of the finale, in the next day or so after the finale. Get your voicemails in 323-282-RHAP or robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. All right. So let's talk about, we've talked so much about social media on this episode. And definitely I want to hear from you guys, especially the ones who are active on social media, what you think is the right way to go when we're talking about this hashtag conversation, because it's a very interesting case study. I like to read about this as a person with a website, and I'm sure yourself, you're in that same boat. It's interesting to see like the case studies on what are the things that do work on social media and things that are effective. But I don't know if this whole hashtag business is the way to be going. I don't think they're doing it right. I don't know. We have to look into it. All right. So let's talk about some of the things going on speaking of social media. And so, Jeff, did you hear the big news about the Survivor Hall of Fame?
I heard the first inductee.
Yes. So it looks as though Kim Spradlin is the first new member of the 2013 class of the Survivor Hall of Fame.
I have a guess on who the second will be.
Yes. Who do you think the second one is going to be?
I think it will be somebody who is going to be at the finale.
Oh, really? Who is that?
Somebody who's not on this season, but will be interviewed.
Oh, okay. So you think that Cochran will be inducted into the Survivor Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Now,
he was on just about every executive committee ballot. So
I did not nominate Cochran for the Survivor Hall of Fame. I feel like it was too soon for Cochran. I'm not saying that I don't think that he should be in the Survivor Hall of Fame, but I feel like Kim, she didn't get in her first ballot. I feel like the appropriate move is to wait a year. Like, I don't have a problem with Cochran getting in next year. I just feel like it's a little too soon. And I feel like, especially when people are going to go back and play again afterwards, I feel like I didn't know what the rush was to put Cochran in the Survivor Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that. I think at least a year is a decent cooling off period.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, let's take a step back. Let's evaluate things. And then everybody had Kim on their ballot last year. Not everybody had Kim. Nothing changed in Kim's game from year to year. But I think we thought about it and said, yeah, you know what? That's right. That was a great game. And I kind of feel like we would have been afforded the opportunity to sort of digest the Survivor Caramoan and then make the decision on Cochran or not.
What do you think about having in addition to a cooling off period, like a minimum percentage that you have to clear of the votes in order to get in, like in baseball?
I think I'm open to that. I think that, you know, we need to, like, you know, the Survivor Hall, as long as we don't retroactively take me out of the Survivor Hall of Fame, I think that, yeah, we should probably have, like, you have to have a certain amount of the fan vote and a certain amount from the executive committee. Like, I feel like, you know, there have been some things that are slipping through the cracks here. Overall, yeah. Gordon does a good job. I feel like we can perfect the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think maybe some of these survivors on the executive committee, maybe these survivors should get to nominate maybe one person on the executive committee. Maybe every survivor doesn't get to have three nominations. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there. And it's like some survivors are there's allegedly even going into the Hall of Shame this week. Oh, my God. So let's see. The survivors were relatively quiet on Twitter this week. Not a lot of feuds happening. I think maybe they're saving it all for the finale.
I was just mourning their silence.
Yeah. So, yeah, the survivors not saying a ton, not talking a ton of crap. Leading up to the finale. But then finale night, I feel like all the survivors really start to let loose.
Will there be anger over who wins?
Well, I'm trying to think of, can you think of any of the winners that have had any, like, for instance, let's say Tyson wins. Do you think that Penner will be out criticizing his game?
I don't think so, but I'm sure Russell Hans will have something to say about it.
About Tyson?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it seems like that Russell is very pro Sierra, even though he's very anti Laura, which I think is odd. Don't you think that's weird?
Well, he has an eye for the younger ladies.
I guess so. Yeah. So you think that that Russell sees Sierra as one of his, what did he call the girls on his season?
The Dumb Blonde Alliance?
Yeah, so she could be maybe like a young Danielle DiLorenzo?
Maybe so.
By the way, Jeff, I got so much flack last week. I was talking about the tribe of villains with Boston Rob last week, and I was talking about how, is this the greatest tribe ever assembled? And I was talking about how before, even if Tyson doesn't make the finals, there have been 11 appearances in the finals by the people in that tribe. And I totally forgot Danielle DiLorenzo herself made it into the finals. And I probably got 100 messages this week of, you forgot Danielle DiLorenzo.
It's okay.
How could I have been so dumb
to forget
Danielle DiLorenzo? No, I have to always fact check Danielle DiLorenzo. So yes, maybe even up for Hall of Fame consideration, Danielle DiLorenzo.
By Russell, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, this is how bad of a week it was on social media for the survivors. Eliza even tweeted, not watching hashtag Survivor at the moment. We'll watch later and tweet my thoughts. Sorry, I'm late. So apparently at this early hour, Eliza has still not even seen the episode. We will be on pins and needles waiting for it. Okay. So let's see if there's anything else. How about some Jeff Probst inappropriate comments of the week?
I noticed some.
Yes. Okay. Well, the big one, no pun intended, had to have been, is it long enough? is it strong enough? Because those are really the two key factors there with your
paw. But is your stick long enough?
Yes.
Or strong enough.
Yeah. Because, the longest stick in the world. But if it's not strong enough, it's not going to do you any good. And vice versa. You could have a strong stick, but if it's not long enough, that's also a problem.
And if you also can't get it into the hole on the keychain.
Yes. We need a Venn diagram of stick being long enough and stick being strong enough. And then a very happy circle in the middle. that would be a very appropriate Venn diagram. Let's see. And anything else from do you think there's gonna be any friction between Kat and Katie at the finale over Hayden blurting out that Katie looks so hot at Tribal Council?
You stay away from my man.
Yeah, does Hayden just have a thing for people named Kat? If they have, like, if their first three letters of their name starts K-A-T, is that really very important for Hayden?
Maybe that's it. And, you know, Tina did tell him to win the challenge, so maybe he's on the grandbaby radar.
Maybe. So we'll see if there's going to be any friction there. Also, maybe it's just girls with a K at the start of their name, that Hayden hooked up with a girl named Kristen on Big Brother 12. So he really likes these women with K names.
Interesting. Well, he's a former baseball player, but I guess he wasn't a pitcher, was he?
I guess so. I believe he was a position player.
I think he was an outfielder.
An outfielder. And they should hate K's. So we'll see. All right. So Jeff Pittman, what sort of coverage are you going to be doing for the finale of True York Times?
Recap. The usual gallery of vidcaps with completely irrelevant captions.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds promising.
That's what I do.
Yeah. All right. So check out, follow at True Dork Times on Twitter. And then will you be live tweeting the finale?
Yes, but it'll be in the time zone that nobody cares about. So.
So now, if you are live tweeting the West Coast version of the finale, and I will be live tweeting the East Coast version of the finale. But now, if you're live tweeting the West Coast version of the finale, does the show get spoiled for you? Like, when you come log on, do you already know the whole outcome of the show?
Actually, on the usually not on regular Survivor episodes, because there's a 2-hour gap when most of the East Coast tweeters have stopped tweeting about Survivor, but on the finale there's overlap because the reunion is just ending when the finale is starting on the West Coast.
So do you just like only just like put your blinders on and only concentrate on your Twitter and then don't look at replies? Like if you're tweeting like, oh, that was a really great move by Sierra, and then somebody's like, well, she gets voted out tonight, so it wasn't that great a move.
Well, I usually only look at the at replies when I'm live tweeting and then just make my own tweets.
Okay. But people don't ruin it for you.
People generally don't.
Generally don't until now.
Well, now they know where to find me at True Dark Times.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
follow me for the finale.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you very much for coming on with us. We always appreciate your stuff on the True Dark Times and on Twitter, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was the great Jeff Pittman from True Dork Time. So lots of fun this season getting people to come in for the voicemail segment. So we'll see what we do for Survivor 28, whether Nicole's going to be able to join us or we'll get her in a rotation with some of our other voicemail people. So it's a lot of fun. I like having the second guest on the podcast. It ends up being a little bit of a different thing for me, even though it's a little more work, but I think it's worth it. It's a lot of fun. So it is, what do we got, like 2 weeks to go here until Christmas. I know a lot of people are going crazy with their holiday shopping, but again, you don't have to drive yourself nuts. The easiest thing to do is just go to Amazon.com. So use our links on robhasawebsite.com in the sidebar, and then there's one underneath the post, or you can go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon or go to the Amazon holiday homepage. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/holidays, they've got all sorts of gift ideas. So if you're sitting there like I am, like, oh my God, what do I get this person? And it's like they have like categories of gifts for guys, for women, for mom, for whoever. So take a lot of the stress out of the holiday season by doing your shopping online. So we've got a very big weekend ahead of ourselves. One other thing, with all the football coming up, we had a very fun episode of Time Out with T.O., my football podcast that I do with Terrell Owens. You can check that out at GetchaPodcastReady.com, GETCHA Podcast Ready, or you could check that out at SideshowNetwork.tv. We had basketball great John Sally with us this week. So John Sally, T.O., and I just shooting the S like three cool guys. So you can check that out anytime you want. Get your podcast ready. So this podcast is just about ready to be over. So if you made it this far into the podcast, I'm thinking about this, and like Jane brought up earlier in this conversation about Survivor and social media, since the hashtag Survivors Ready isn't being used too much, it looks like it got used 5 times by the 10 million people that watched the episode of Survivor this Wednesday night. It looks like there's probably going to be room for us on the hashtag Survivors Ready. So I think it would be funny if a podcast with like 10 or 20,000 listeners is going to be able to monopolize a hashtag for a show that has 10 million viewers. So use the hashtag Survivors Ready and let me know if you made it to the end of this, because it's a quick turnaround. This is no easy feat to listen to a 2.5 hour podcast, basically about 48, no, it's like 72 hours before the finale. So you got your work cut out for you. So if you made it this far, you are a true Survivor fan. So congratulations on that. Don't forget to vote for the Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season. Who will win the coveted first ever Rob Has a Podcast Player of the Season award? Go to robhasawebsite.com/POTS. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yeah, don't forget Survivor Know-It-Alls this upcoming Sunday night after the finale, and then our exit interviews on Monday. So lots to do. Make sure you're locked in. Subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And then we've got some fun stuff coming up, too, for after Survivor. So don't just, like, delete this iTunes feed and say, okay, well, I guess I'll check in with Rob in February. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. We're going to have our big... Well, we're going to do a few things for the holidays before we end up going home for Christmas. And then once we come back, we are going to get out of the gate real quick in January. We are not going to take a extended break or anything like that. I think we're going to have podcasts all through January. Lots of stuff coming up. I'm very excited to talk about some of it very soon with you guys. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk more with you guys on Sunday night live after the Survivor Blood vs. Water finale. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.